Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina, Yah Israel, with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm going to play a song, as I always do, and I hope you guys like it, and then we're going to get my co-host on the line so we can talk about some big boy stuff again today. Hold on, here we go. Here we go.
It's the South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low. It's in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times got hard. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime, looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down to ride out, even take the train. Even take her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be a friend. Turned out that you were shady. It's time to get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Things ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get a little angry. Yeah.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get the best of me.
All right, that's my song. Kabai, you there? I got your mic on. You there?
Yes, I am. Shalom, shalom to everyone.
Shalom,
music, Yaina. Who's that?
Watch it. It's called Coming From Where I'm From. I'm from. That's my jam right there. Rhea, let me get Adonia on the line. Let me let him say hello to everybody.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
All right.
Sidonia from Atlanta, Georgia.
Shalom, my brother. Right, shalom to you. Shalom.
Well, you know, it's another edition. There's a lot of stuff going on around in our country right now. We're at the crossroads. We're at a precipice right now. It's something definitely has to happen. And, you know, we don't want to ever play down the Trayvon Martin case or the verdict or anything like that. But before we get started, Kabai, you going to lead us out in prayer?
I am. We just want to give thanks today. We give thanks to all power created. We give thanks to the Most High. We give all glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. We're just thankful. We come to you today just with a thankful heart, a thankful mind, a thankful attitude, a thankful way of living, a thankful way of talking, a thankful way of walking. We just give thanks today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise and thank the Most High, the All-Power Creator. We just want to thank you today. A spirit of thanks. And we give you gratitude and thank you on today. Hallelujah. For life, health, and strength. Hallelujah. For being at a point of the crossroads. Hallelujah. For the line being drawn in the sand. Hallelujah. Because everybody's going to have to choose. Hallelujah. We give thanks today. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Sound like you're trying to stir up time up here, but that's all good. It's time to get it started. If ever there was a time to start, the time is now. Anybody have anything you want to say before while we make our introductions and everything? We want you to start writing down questions because this is an open forum, and we've always invited our guests to be able to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And usually there's a topic that takes grab, that takes hold on us, and we all just kind of interject and give our comments as to specific topics. So, you know, we want you to feel free if you want to talk about something else. We may elaborate on it for a moment, you know, but we don't really pick and choose the topics we have unless it's something serious. And like I said, we don't want to play down the Trayvon Martin situation at all because the country's uproar. I mean, our country's in an uproar. Every city is, they're cutting up everywhere because we thought, black people thought it had changed, you know, and the sad part about it is it hasn't changed. And we have to let people know, you know, that in the interim of things, we have to look out for ourselves. I wanted to let you know also that the chat room is open now to anyone who may want to come in on the chat room. Please feel free to come in via the internet. If we have any people from another country, please feel free to chat with me. Any questions you may have, I will read them over the air. Kavai, you have anything you want to say?
No, I don't have too much to say. I mean, with, like you said, with the situation that happened with the Trayvon Martin, with the verdict and all of that that has transpired, it is a lot. It's an uproar. And what we are actually seeing, we're seeing things that have taken place in the other dimension begin to manifest here on the earth. That's what we're seeing. We're beginning to see even the restlessness in the hearts and the souls of the people are beginning to stir up. And that's on purpose. And the reason why I say it's on purpose because during this timeline, at this point in this timeline, people are supposed to be restless. People are supposed to have a mind and a heart set up with what is transpiring around them, what has been transpiring in our lives, what has been transpiring in this domain, in this rule. It's time for the people to be stirred up. So therefore, at this time on the timeline, the hearts and the minds of the people are positioned and it has been placed in their hearts to be uneasy, to be unacceptable of what's transpiring now. We no longer want to take what we have taken before. We no longer want to sit around and allow things to be and accept things as it was by us not speaking. We're willing to speak out now. This generation
yes.
is tired.
Yes.
And it's a whole other generation for a reason.
Yes. Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Brother Donia, you have something you want to say?
I always got something to say. Whatever happened, I mean, what happened with Trayvon Martin, man, is happening all over the country. And it's even happening in the foreign countries where we are at. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to see, the sooner that we realize that this has all been set up by the Almighty, this is His plan, in order for Him to get the glory, we're going to go through all of these things. One thing that we have that is our salvation. We forget that the Almighty is our God. He is our Creator. We have a special connection with the Creator. You understand? One thing that I'm finding out is that we have but only to come back to Him and do what He says. You understand? We have the laws and the ordinances and the commandments. You understand, that was set up from the beginning. You understand? We went astray. We went aside from those laws. In the time of Abraham, the Most High said that we was gonna go into captivity by peoples that knew not that we knew not. We didn't know their language. We didn't know anything about them, and they didn't know about Yah. They did not know about Yah. Those are the most coolest people on the face of the earth. We have to understand that. You understand? He also put in the readings that we read today, Deuteronomy 28, the curse. You understand? Now, we cannot stop the curse. We cannot stop the train of the curse, but we can get out the way. What we can do is come together and start calling on the Almighty and asking His forgiveness, you understand, and ask that He bless our hands. Try to, you know, and make sure that we try to start doing things that's going to set up something that's going to sustain our living. Our children is at stake here. You understand?
Yes,
we need to put something in place for our children. You understand? And trust me, I believe in the Almighty with all my heart and soul, and I know that He's not going to fail us if we came to the Almighty and started doing what we're supposed to do. The answer is in the Scriptures. You understand? There are certain things that in the Scriptures, everything in there doesn't pertain to us getting out of here, but there's certain things that is a formula. You understand? And we have to look in them Scriptures and find out what the formula is. One part of the formula is, I heard that started this whole chat line, this whole radio thing was repenting. It's not just getting on your hands and knees and calling on Yah. It's getting up and doing something. Mm-hmm. So we have to do. You understand? We don't have too much. We got time. No, we don't have no time, but we got time if we're dealing with Yah. I relinquish the mic.
That's right. All right. I want to let you all know that before the mics are open, if you want to make a comment, push one. But I want to play something. I want you to hear something because right now, and I'm like Adonai and Kavah, this is our opportunity. This is our moment to stand up. This is our moment to be heard because we were the generation that watched the civil rights movement. I was too little to participate in it, but I was born during that time, and I watched the civil rights movement, and my mom's generation were my age during that time, and they were all watching, you know, going on and watching it, and you know, we came through the 60s, and then we came through the 70s, and we came through the 80s. But like you said, this generation now, these young kids, these generation that was born in the late 80s and the 90s, they're not having this stuff. I mean, they really, if we don't do something, because our young people are looking at us because all of them think they soldiers. You know, and my kids tickle me because we've gotten older, they think we don't know what a soldier is. You know, but they're watching us as the elders as to what to do because their thought process goes like this: shoot first and ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk. I mean, this is how these young people is thinking, and they're watching for this government to do something. You guys gonna have to do something. Okay, we're gonna give you a chance to do something, or else we're gonna do something. And that is why it is so vitally important that we, as the elders, come together and begin to show them that we are not afraid. Show them that we're willing to stand up because we have to keep some normalcy to this whole thing because it can get out of control real quick. And all the government wants is for it to get out of control so they can say, "See, I told you them niggas don't know how to act. See, we're going to have to bring in the military to control everybody." And believe me, listen to me under the sound of my voice. You do not want military law to come on. You do not want martial law to come on the scene. You don't want that. I want to play this clip for you, and I want you to just hear the sentiments of what's going on because people are angry and people are upset, and we got to do something. Our children, you don't want them to start trying to run havoc on us. I'm telling you, this is something that you just really don't want. So, you know, here we go.
The story is the media reporting black-white crime accurately. Joining us now from Los Angeles, radio talk show host Tavis Smiley. All right, Tavis, you heard the talking points of Mr. West, and you say? I say, first of all, that what's lacking in this conversation is an empathy and appreciation for the humanity of Trayvon Martin. I say what's missing in this conversation is the reality when you talk about these stats that most whites are killed by other whites, most blacks are killed by other blacks. That's the bottom line. I say what's missing in this conversation is the reality that in this country, sadly, the life of a black child does not have the same worth and value as the life of a white child. When Sandy Hook happened, the empathy and the appreciation and the reveling in the humanity of those children was present all over Fox News and every place else, as it should have been. African Americans are not seeing that same kind of empathy and appreciation for the humanity of Trayvon that they saw for the children of Sandy Hook. I'm waiting to hear, I haven't heard it yet, I'm waiting to hear the NRA say that if Trayvon Martin had had a gun, he might still be alive today. The bottom line is that race is still the most intractable issue in this country, and when an adult can profile and stalk and kill a child in America, our democracy is threatened. The bottom line is this, that if Trayvon Martin had been Mark Zuckerberg, the most well-known white guy in America who walks around with hoodies on every day, he wouldn't have been stalked, he wouldn't have been killed. And the bottom line further is that if Mr. Zimmerman, if Trayvon Martin, rather, could get his life back as quickly as Zimmerman got his gun back, I'd feel a lot better.
All right. Now, I'm going to correct the record. I've been very empathetic to the Martin family. You can check with Mr. Crump, their primary lawyer, on that. Number two, do you believe that the trial was fair? Did you see anything in the trial that was unfair?
I think the fact that Mr. Zimmerman is free today speaks to the fact.
You want to get specific, specifically in the
trial? I want
the way the evidence was presented, the way the state conducted the prosecution and the defense conducted what they did you see anything that was unfair?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So you didn't see anything unfair. I didn't see anything unfair. So we have to go by what the jury, and we assume that they're good, honest people, came to the conclusion. Now, let's advance the story. Yesterday on Good Morning America, you made a very provocative statement. Roll the tape.
I think this is, for many Americans, George, just another piece of evidence on the incontrovertible contempt that this nation often shows and displays for black men. Something is wrong when adults can racially profile children. Trayvon Martin was a child, racially profiled and gunned down.
Okay. Now, the words incontrovertible contempt, and you and I both agree that the trial was fair. I don't know where the contempt is coming from. And maybe in George Zimmerman's heart, he's contemptuous. Maybe. There's not any evidence of that. I mean, the FBI didn't find that. But where is the contempt coming from?
Let me define what I mean when I say the trial was fair. Under the rules that the jury was given, the evidence that the judge allowed in and not allowed in, and I can certainly debate you on what should have been in that wasn't allowed in, but under the rules they were told to make a decision by, the trial went along as it should have. Here's the problem. The problem is that in the state of Florida, this law itself, so you ask about the trial. Let me back up before the trial. It's the law that I have a problem with.
Okay, and
that's what Attorney Eric Holder was talking about today. George, no, people do have a beef on that. There are a lot of people who believe that Zimmerman had a right to stand his ground,
right,
but the reality is that Trayvon did not have a right to stand his ground.
That's up to the state of Florida to decide, the legislature and the governor, not you and me. We can oppose it.
No,
but you don't say.
No, Bill,
you
Bill,
made it,
Bill,
wait, wait.
Bill,
you made it very, very personal. You said that America has
it is
contempt for black
absolutely
men. And
that's wrong. I'll back it up right now. I've said already that black men so often are viewed in this country as a menace to society, number one. Number two, look at the criminalization, the over-criminalization of black boys in our education system, number two. Number three, look at the racist drug laws. You got to get caught with more crack than powder cocaine to get the same sentence. Look at the high unemployment numbers in this country with specific regard to African-American men. And finally, consider this, Bill. The only reason why this case even was brought in the first place, the only reason why it even came to trial is because there was a national hue and cry. If there was a value for black male life in America that there is for white male life in America, it wouldn't have required all that it took just to get this even, the charges even filed, the case even brought.
Look,
Bill,
I'm glad the case came to trial. I think the trial was fair, and all the points you raise are societal problems where there is another side. There's genocide going on in Chicago, and it's blacks killing blacks, okay? Whites have nothing to do with it. I don't believe that America has contempt for black men. I believe a lot of the problem is generated by the blacks themselves that won't solve the problems of their neighborhood.
I just gave Bill, I just offered five reasons, five specific examples of how there is contempt still in this country for African-American men. The bottom.
Did you hear that? All right. Did you hear him? I mean, these
I heard
are things that are going on right now that have people up in arms because they do it all the time. They say, see, we didn't say anything was wrong. You all are killing each other. So why are you mad when we take somebody's life? He was defending himself. He had to kill that young man. He didn't have a choice. We have got to do something. Now, I'm telling you, if we don't do something, our young men, I have young men in my family that are in their 20s. I have nephews that are in their 20s that have the no-nonsense approach. I'm telling you, they have the no-nonsense approach. And I mean, when I tell you no-nonsense, none. They don't. They're waiting. All they need is a reason. That's all I'm saying. All they need is a reason, and we have to not give them that reason because we're the elders and we have to stand up. So I'm going to open up the line. If you have a question, a comment, a concern, you please push 1. Kavai, Donia, you have anything to say about
this? Kane, I got – Shalom. This is Adonia. I got something to say. Here's what happened.
Yes,
here's what's happening now. Our only salvation is in the Almighty. What we do, what we're doing now is we keep going to the same source and expecting them to do something about our condition, what's going on in the society. We know that they have a contempt for black folks. The scriptures tell you, you understand, that they have gotten together, all those European countries have gotten together and made a vow never to allow us to be a nation ever again. You understand? So one thing that I'm telling everybody, you understand, when we say, you know, we're setting up this little treasury, you understand, and we need to all try to get involved, or those that understand our condition. We need to stop going to them white folks, you understand, and asking them to try to figure out try to let them help us with our condition. That's not going to work. It ain't worked in all of these years, you understand. If they do, they give us a little bit of something, you understand, to quiet us down. That's all that happens, you understand. Now, we cannot afford to get our children killed any further by them jumping out on the street and trying to sabotage, retaliate, you understand? That's not going to happen either. I mean, that's not going to be of any help for us. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to wind up losing more children, you understand? And like you said, they're going to have that martial law and put us in the penitentiary. Now, there's no magic bullet to this. You understand? We cannot... we can't stop the train of the curse, but we can get out the way, you understand? And we can call on Yah. We fail to understand that the Almighty is our, we have that special connection with Yah. He said he will take care of us. We have but to come back to him. That's all we got to do. We got to call on the Almighty, you understand, and ask him to spare our lives. I mean, he will show us what we need to do. We got to have that trust and that commitment to rebuilding the United Nation of Israel, you understand, or we going to perish in this generation, and it's going to go over to the next generation. Now, this generation going to go through the martial law, you understand, and everything, and then the new generation going to come up, you understand, and the Almighty will work with them if they call on the Almighty and work with the Almighty to try to get us out of this mess that we're in, you understand? And remember, now we got to come back to the Creator, you understand? He didn't leave us. We started worshiping, our forefathers started worshiping those other gods and all of that stuff, man. That was an insult to the Almighty. That hurt him. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question, because you say that every week. That he preaches every week, and I mean he drills the nail home every week. But my question to the listening audience is, because I'm assuming that everyone on the line is Hebrew Israelite, or if you're not, we want to let you know that we are the Hebrew Israelite people
the original ancient people of the scriptures. We are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, of the diaspora that are in captivity right now. We're in the land of our captors. We're people in exile, and we're coming back together slowly but surely. But my question to the listening audience is this: what's wrong with you? I mean, what's wrong with everyone that we can't get the people together to support each other? Because even with the Trayvon Martin situation, you know, my heart goes out to their family. Again, we extend our condolences. But even with that situation, people are marching all over the country, all over the country. They're marching, even though people may say, well, that's not going to mean anything, and that doesn't mean anything. But it shows a sense of camaraderie. It shows a sense of unity. It shows a sense of togetherness. But with the Hebrew Israelite people, it's almost like the church. Kavah, remember when you said that you had told your aunt about the show and you wanted her to hear the show and come on the show? And she had this level of complacency, like, well, I'm going to be all right. I ain't worried about all this stuff. And I almost see the same thing in Hebrew Israelism, because you got one group that's hollering, you know, y'all's going to take care of us. All we got to do is come back to y'all. And then you got another group that's saying, well, the HaMashiach going to come and get us, and this is definitely our. But we don't realize we came here as a nation of people. And we came here against our will, but now that we know who we are, what's wrong with everybody that they're afraid to come together? Why is it that we created little Knessets, and I watched it because I'm from the church, so excuse me if I rattle on because I want to get this out, but I've watched everything from the time that the Most High pulled me out of Christianity, because let me say this before, because I got a lot of people pushing one, and I'm going to get to you, but I have to get this out because I've watched since he pulled me out of the church. And let me show you how my process went, because I didn't come out of the church knowing about Hebrew Israelism. I came out of the church trying to understand what was wrong with the church, because after a while, when it's not working, you figure out something's wrong. So as that process began, and he brought me out of the church and began to show me all of the systems and everything and how it is intricately woven into each other and how all of it ends up to one purpose, then he began to explain to me about my heritage and my Hebrew heritage and where I was from. And I was excited. I mean, I really was excited. But I came into a group of people with all this excitement, and everybody's looking at me like, yeah, well, yeah. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you guys? Well, you know, that's just the way it is. What's the way it is?
Well, look here, my thing is this.
This is my thing. I've heard that we need to come back to y'all. I've heard that we need to come together and pray. We've been rallying, and we've been pushing, and I put the pom-poms up. I mean, I really did. Because I don't understand. If we are the most powerful people on the earth, we are the most powerful people on the earth. It doesn't get any more powerful than this, but we can't get everybody to come together. So I'm going to open up the mics now. Hold on, Kavah. I'm going to get to Kavah first, and then I'm going to go to area code 352 because they were first, and then I'm going to go to area code 404 because they were next, and then I'm going to go to area code 813. So, Kavah, go ahead.
I know I hear exactly what you're saying, Yaina, and the division, that everything that you're talking about, the division in Hebrew Israelism and the church and this, that, and other. I'm going to say something, and it may strike some of y'all as like, what the H is she talking about? What bag is Kavah coming out of? But I'm going to say this. I'm going to put it out there. Y'all may not like me for what I got to say. Yaina might not like me. Brother Adonijah might not like me. But I'm going to say it anyway. Here's the problem. The problem is this. Everything that you said is all rooted in religion. Hebrew Israelism, the church, Islam, all of it
is rooted in religion. The Creator is not at the core of religion, period. I guarantee you this. If everybody that was of the so-called African-American persuasion were to say, for a minute, for a week, for 2 weeks, I'm going to set this book aside, and I'm going to come to you as another human being to another human being, knowing that we all need to come together under the mindset of unifying. I guarantee you we'll come together. Guarantee you. I guarantee you, because religion is what is keeping us divided. All I got to say.
All right. Area code 352, go ahead. You on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. I live in Florida now. Okay, I live in Florida now. I moved here 20 years ago, but before I moved here, I lived in New York. And in New York, this was before Sharpton got stabbed. He used to have meetings in the slave theater, and it's a big theater, and it would be crowded up with people. One week, this Israelite boy, he didn't know himself, but he was an Israelite, he walked through a Jewish neighborhood. They stopped him. They beat him down, and he wound up in the hospital, seriously beat up. That Thursday, we went to the slave theater, and Sharpton let everybody know what was going on. Sharpton said, I want everybody in this theater to get in their cars, and we're going over to this Edomite, he said, Jewish neighborhood, and we're going to deal with this rabbi over there. It had to be at least 1,000 people. Everybody got in the cars. Matter of fact, he even waited an hour for people to call people. Everybody got in them cars. We all went over to the neighborhood. We went straight up to where the rabbi was at. They banged on his door. That whole block was covered with Israelites. You hear the sirens coming. One corner is the police. The other corner is the police. They seen these Israelite men and women, and they realized it was going to be some trouble. The rabbi came outside, and Sharpton and them told him one thing. We're going to let this pass right now because it already happened. But if you ever touch another black boy walking through this neighborhood, I don't care what time it is, we're going to come back and some of y'all are going to die. Those police, it was so many black men out there that was not playing with them. Those police got back in their car and they left. This is 20 years ago, and you know what? No black boy has ever went through that neighborhood again and been assaulted. Israelite men don't want to get involved. I don't care what they say. I went back to the temple when I first started going to Sharpton. Why don't y'all come? No, we don't want to come. No, we don't want to get involved. Israelite men, they'll beat down their women. They'll beat down their children. But when it's time for them to stand up and be men, they don't do it. At the end of the day, the bottom line is they're going to sooner or later do martial law on us anyway. So if we know they're going to do it on us anyway, then what better thing than start it off with protecting our children? And I'm a woman. I could tell you this. If that bastard had a gun down my grandson or my son, I'd have killed his ass, and I ain't even going to say excuse my language. He would have been a dead Mexican. I mean, what got to happen to us for y'all men to stand up? I'm a woman. What got to happen to us? You just watch them kill our children. You watch them mistreat our children. You watch them miseducate our children. When are you going to stand up and be men? The Most High said, I'm putting you in the land of your captivity and let them walk over you and let them kill your kids. This is a punishment from the Most High. How long are you going to let it go? Do that mean they can do anything they want to do to us? It shouldn't be like that.
No.
Us women, Sharpton said, look, all of y'all that can go to jail, if this rabbi say one thing out of his mouth, we're going to rush his building, rush all the buildings, drag their asses in the street, and beat the shit out of them. And them Israelite men that did not know themselves was willing to do this. The police realized what was going on. They put their asses back in the car and they left them Jewish neighborhoods to be beat down. Ain't a boy since then walked through those neighborhoods and been beat down. When y'all gonna be men? And another thing, I don't care if you do sovereignty. They ain't stopping and asking you, are you a sovereign citizen? They asked that boy nothing. He gunned him down. I watched him in court. He sat there arrogant, like he had a right to do what he did. Arrogant. Not only that, they care so little for us and they think so little about our men. They was going to give him his gun back, very gun that killed that boy. They was going to give it back to him until they said no, hold all evidence. And you know, I live in Florida. No sooner than they say no, they're not going to take it up on a racial basis, is he going to walk in there and get his gun back? Where's all you men at out there? All you Israelite men? Well, okay, you could beat your women down. You could beat your children down. When you going to stand up to another man? They're going to do martial law on us anyway. Don't you think it's time? The Most High must be looking down at us and saying, wow. Look at them. During slavery, we had no choice. But now, you can walk into a gun show and buy a gun. My daughter walked in a Walmart or walked out with two shotguns and the bullets. A cracker come up in my house, he gonna deal with me. And I'm an old woman. You want my grandchild? You kill my grandchild? I wouldn't even said nothing about putting him on trial. This is Florida. He was going to win. And his father was a judge. You see, they let that little girl that killed her baby loose because her father was a sheriff. That's just how it is down here. I wouldn't even have called the police. I'd have been, let him go. And he'd have turned around and he'd have saw my face, and that would have been the last thing he saw. Y'all need to stand up. Sovereignty ain't going to help us. They ain't saying where you come from when they shooting our children down. And another thing, even if our children are shooting down each other, it's because the men in Israel won't be men. Why you ain't out on the corner dealing with these young boys? My son is a hoodlum, but guess what? He don't hoodlum me. He don't come up in my house and do no crazy shit because he know he's going to have to deal with me. And I'll say it again, I'm an old woman. What you think? Did you hear anything about Zimmerman asking that young boy where you come from? That didn't happen in a ghetto. His parents ain't ghetto. He's black, and that's all they see is the color of your skin. And it keep happening, and our men keep talking about, oh, this is terrible. Stand up like a man. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't sit around hiding with, you know martial law. They're going to drag us out of our houses sooner or later anyway. Why not start with dealing with a couple of them? And anybody want to buy a gun, go to Walmart. They sell shotguns, and you walk out the same day with it. You want to buy a gun? Go come down to the South and buy a gun at a gun show. Them crackers don't care nothing about what color you are. They care about the color of your skin or your money. We make all kind of excuses. Oh, they doing this, they to us, they doing that. Because y'all letting them do this and that. Y'all letting them. Be men. That's what you're supposed to be. That's why the shit is hanging between your legs. That should tell you a man. And if you're swinging, then you need to be a man. You need to protect your children and not wait on, the Most High will come. When Moses' mama was sitting in there and they was killing all them babies and throwing them into the water with the alligators and cutting them up, she didn't sit there and say, I'm going to wait on the Most High. She said, I'm going to take my baby because I love my baby and I'm going to find a way out of this. And she climbed out a window or a door, but she got him to the river and she got him safe. All of the mamas that sat there and didn't do nothing and the daddies that sat there and do nothing, their kids died. Y'all need to man up. That's what you need to do. That's all I got to say.
And she said a lot. I'll put you back on hold. Eric code 404, go ahead, you're on the air, and then Eric code 813, you're after that.
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Eric code 404, go ahead.
Shalom, shalom, peace and blessings to each and every one of you. Let me just say that I'm a first-time listener, and one of my brothers here in Atlanta gave me your information and told me that I needed to call in, and I just want to start off by saying hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Most High, Yah, for you, my sister, and your co-host, because this is what we need. I'm coming from not only a family of preachers, from my great-great-granddaddy to my great-granddaddy to both of my granddaddies. My daddy preached, all my aunts and uncle preached, my brother preached, my sister preached, and I, too, was a Christian preacher in the pulpit. So to my sister that was talking about religion, and we might not like her, no, girl, we love you because you are telling the absolute truth. The problem is with religion. The problem is with people who do not study, people who do not research, and they have the audacity to try to come to war with a butter knife when the oppressor is using hand grenades, Uzis, cannons. My story is one so off the chain that when I go forward, my sister, and I want to connect with you all, my brother, I think you're here in Atlanta, we as the children of Israel have to jumpstart this thing. They are not giving us anything. Our people are so gullible. They kiss Mr. Charlie ass like it's a lollipop. I'm talking about they love what Miss Chlorine say, what Mr. Charlie say, and if we use some word that they say, oh, that's a curse word. No, the whole English language is a bastard language. It does not belong to us as a people. And my sister, once you come into the knowledge of who Yah is, the redeemed of Yah will say so. We are not cowards. Marcus Garvey, Harriet Tubman, our ancestors, their blood is crying out, saying, what is wrong with you baby boomers? We're the generation that's dropped the ball. We were tired of what we had to go through. So now I'm a mother. My son was shot, so I also can talk from a mother having a son that's been shot, but the Most High Yah spared his life. He didn't take his life. So I can imagine what Trayvon's mom and father are feeling like when you get that call that your son has been shot. And guess what? He was shot in a drive-by. Guess what? Our own kind. I just left Chicago, Illinois. And when you talk about violence up there, those young men, my sisters and brothers, only need somebody to reach out to them. I went from Atlanta to Chicago last weekend and planted some seeds in a young man's life that probably, if you saw him, he looked like he was going to jack you. He looked like he was going to take your phone. He looked like he would walk up to you and cuss you out. But when I start talking to that young man and say, look, he was like, well, I'm from alternative school. I said, you know what? That's okay. I work with alternative school. I'm a chaplain in the jail. I go in the hood. I deal with the people. And, young man, you all are little princes. The young ladies are little, you young men are little prince, and the females are little princesses. We have to change the energy of our young people, but you cannot take this Jesus mess to them. It's not going to work. They are looking at the fact that my grandmama, their mama, sister, and I'm not going to hold up the line, but I'm so excited about what you all are doing, and I hope my number is on your board where you can copy it down, because I want to jumpstart some stuff here in Atlanta, and I know the only way that we are going to stop this oppressive, we cannot go to war fairly. They have had all the buyback programs of guns in our neighborhood. We ain't got nothing, but the Christians are telling you, well, you just need to pray about it and put it under the blood. Are you kidding me? Our ancestors' blood is already out. Our children's blood today is already out. And the Most High Yah told Ezekiel, he said, will these dry bones live? And that's the story right there. We are the dry bones, and I'm challenging brothers and sisters around the globe. Somebody's going to lose their life. Somebody's going to lose their job. What are you holding on to? You mad at the bill collector? Most Christians want to go to heaven to get the hell away from the bill collector. They don't have no peace here. So why don't we gather together and do what Zephaniah's account said? Sister, my brother, I think you're here in Atlanta. We need to connect because I'm a sister soldier ready to go in. I've been in Christianity. I've been in the pulpit. I know what go on behind these places. This prosperity message, we got to can it. It's time to put it in the trash because Jeremiah said, woe to these pastors. These pastors are fleecing the people, taking everything. And I'm here in Atlanta where they getting over, getting over. And my other sister who was just telling the Hebrew brothers to stand up, Hell, a lot of them here are damn homosexuals. They sitting here and have bought into this lie, and the Christians are telling them they don't know whether it's okay or not. And we're sitting back as women afraid to speak on what we know our kings and men. Homosexuality was never named among us as children of Israel. Now, we can get mad at what the books say all we want to. I'm just a messenger, and I'm glad that the Most High Yah is my Redeemer. Shalom, shalom, peace to each and every one of you and to every caller that calls in. One of the things about it, my background is radio, TV. I'm all in the entertainment industry. I'm an international businesswoman. So, sister and brothers, you all have a lot of people that are listening to you, and you have a lot of people that are tired of religion and what these preachers are doing. A lot of people are not getting down with these movements because they don't want to be involved with the church. So what are we going to do about starting something and being about something versus just talking it? I love each and every one of you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Look at the energy that came from that. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, it seemed like it's the girls. And it's like, okay, what's up that the girls are stepping up? Because, I, like you said, we used to be in Christianity. We used to preach. We was pastors. We was on the pulpit. I, too, was in the prisons. I, too, went through all the prisons in Ohio and preached. And like we said, it's time to stand up. I'm not going to go after that, but I do have your phone number, and I will be calling you after this show is over. Area code 813, go ahead, you on the air. If you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. Go ahead, 813, you on the air. 813, are you there? Shalom, shalom. 813, area code 813, you on the air. He might have his phone on mute. We're going to give them an opportunity to come back to the phone. We'll leave this mic open. But, I mean, listen what just happened. I don't know if you all are aware of what just happened. This is powerful. Kavah, do you realize what just happened?
Yes, I do. I sure do.
The church is waking up. I told y'all the church was going to start waking up, and the Most High is starting to pull them out of that mess. And they're looking for somewhere to go. Well, guess what, lady? If you want a movement, we got a movement jumping out. Because November the 1st, we're as Hebrew Israelites, are marching on Washington, D.C. And if you want to be a part of that movement, email me. My email address is Yaena, YaHeenaYisrael @gmail.com. Email us if you want to be a part of it. And to the young lady who was talking about the sovereignty movement, that's the only movement we got. Because if you understand the law, and we're talking about the law, we know they don't honor their own paper. We know they don't honor their own thing. But we're doing stuff internationally that we can't be tied to this country as a 14th Amendment slave. So we're doing things to disconnect ourselves from this damn country so we can move forward. And if it means war, then it means war. But at least we're going to stand up and let everybody know who we are and what we stand for, because people are scared to even say they Hebrew Israelite. They scared. People are afraid to even say they Hebrew Israelites, and it's like, what? Woo! They got us pumped out. So, again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1, and we'll get you on the air. We got a lot of people on this line, and I just want to say I'm feeling the energy. The energy is phenomenal because we need to jumpstart ourselves, and we need to get ourselves together. And if the men don't go to the sister that's in Florida, guess what? The women going.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that right, Kavah? If the men don't go, the women get ready to go. We're going. So if you all don't want to go, don't go. But we're going. Because if we have to walk up there as Hebrew Israelite mamas, we're going to walk up there as Hebrew Israelite mamas and say, you will not kill another one.
That's right. Because you got to remember, and most people don't understand, it takes a womb to birth a child. It takes a womb to birth a nation. And we already got the seed. The seed's been planted, so all we got to do is birth it.
Powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We on the move. This is happening. This just jump-started and charged us to the point where you just don't realize when the Most High gives you something and you know you're in his will, and then someone calls in that lets you know that they from the church and the church is starting to listen and the church is starting to wake up. That's what we've been waiting for. People
yeah.
who are willing to do something. Do something. So I think it's powerful. I think it's powerful. Brother Donia, you have something to say real quick before we move on to the next clip? Because I want to play a clip to let you all know what's going on with the government. Go ahead, keep going.
Adonia, this is Adonia. I am so proud of this station right here, and I really want to thank y'all for allowing me to be able to speak on a regular basis, because I'm trying to get us to understand that the Almighty commanded us to come together so that we may be hidden in the time of His wrath. You understand? This is not just for ancient times. You understand? This is part of the plan of the Almighty. Now, this is not a revolution. This is an evolution. You understand? If we get out and we don't trust in the Almighty, that's what the problem is. You understand? We have to do what the Almighty said, come together as a nation, you understand, and start moving as a nation, become established as a nation. You understand? Them people,
right.
We're supposed to be a light unto the other nations. That the light is the righteousness that the Almighty has put in the earth. You understand? And if we're doing the righteousness, then the other nations will see that. You understand? You know, now there's no magic bullet that's going to get us away from this curse. You understand? But now is the time. This is the time of the Almighty, you understand, is getting ready to bring judgment on these folks. You understand?
Yeah.
All we have to do, and see, our job is not to go out up against these folks. We don't have no guns, bullets, or anything. We'll be wiped out, and they'll move on to the next generation. He'll move on to the next generation, because that's not our job. Our job is to come together, you understand? And He will bless our hands. He will show favor. That's what we want to try to get. What is it to gain the world and lose favor of Yah? You understand? So what we got to do is do what we can. I appreciate that young lady that came on today. And a lot of people, don't hold back your voice. We need to hear everything. You understand?
Yes.
Everything that everybody got to say. You understand? And then we'll compile that stuff, man. You understand? And then we can move forward. You understand? So, this station right here has done a magnificent job. You understand? It's giving us the opportunity to get these solutions that we need to get out of this mess. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen at the energy that's flowing. We have a lot of people on this phone call, and a lot of people are just listening. And if you want to say something, just push one. I mean, but in the meantime, I want you to hear this clip that we received the other day from the President of the United States and what he had to say about it. Here we go. And it amazed me because he made a statement, and it was like, wow, you know, the whole hesitant part of it just blew me away, because you wonder in your heart, you know, what is it going to take for us to be able to realize that no matter what we do, no matter how we try to do it, they still consider us to be animals. They still consider us to be chattel. They still consider us to be insignificant. And like the girl said, the arrogancy that they portrayed at the trial, let them know we ain't do nothing but kill a nigga. What was the big deal?
Mm.
Hold on. Check this out. Listen to it.
Last week, I thought it might be useful for me to expand on my thoughts a little bit. First of all, I want to make sure that, once again, I send my thoughts and prayers, as well as Michelle's, to the family of Trayvon Martin. And to remark on the incredible grace and dignity with which they dealt with the entire situation. I can only imagine what they're going through, and it's remarkable how they've handled it. The second thing I want to say is to reiterate what I said on Sunday, which is there's going to be a lot of arguments about the legal issues in the case. I'll let all the legal analysts and talking heads address those issues. The judge conducted the trial in a professional manner. prosecution and the defense made their arguments. The juries were properly instructed that in a case such as this, reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict. And once the jury's spoken, that's how our system works. But I did want to just talk a little bit about context and how people have responded to it and how people are feeling. You know, when Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that this could have been my son. Another way of saying that is Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago. And when you think about why, in the African-American community at least, there's a lot of pain around what happened to you, I think it's important to recognize that the African-American community is looking at this issue through a set of experiences and a history that that doesn't go away.
All right. You know, you just, I wanted you to hear that because I wanted you to hear how difficult it was for him to even say something. I mean, when you understand the things that our country is going through and the things that are going through right now, we have a black president. We have elected a black man into office, and black men are still being hunted. They are still being hunted, and he was hunted. So I have a couple people that have pushed one. Area code 352, go ahead, you're on the air, and we're going to let you on the air, and then after that we're going to go to area code 281. Area code 352, go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, would that be me?
Yes, you. Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm calling from Florida. Some 20 years ago, a guy named Bernard Goetz hunted down and shot some black youth on a train. And he was praised, even though these youngsters had no weapons on them. They were innocent. They were not the one who had approached him some weeks before. But he shot them, paralyzed one, and they took him to court. He was found. There was a civil law against him, and he was found guilty. Now, I was channel surfing over this statement by the president, and it is interesting that it took him such a struggle to say something about this, but I was listening to this guy, Michael Savage. I'm sure you know who he is.
Okay.
And he was talking about this case, and he was, as usual, this guy, a xenophobe. He was very disrespectful, keep referring to the president by his middle name, Hussein. Now I'm saying the president is no more a Muslim because his middle name is Hussein than Michael Savage is a cannibal because his last name is Savage. So his disrespect for the president is in itself deeply racist. And he was talking about how this is no big thing. To them, it is no big thing that a black youth, as the sister said, was shot and killed. It is no big thing. It's just another one. So let's move on. You know,
right.
Move on. No, we cannot move on, brothers and sisters. And like the brother said before, we have no weapon. We don't have any weapon of mass destruction, but we have God's weapon, Yah's weapon of mass destruction, which is the word of God. So let us use it, because that there is no weapon that can stand up against it.
Hallelujah.
And we want you to hold on, because we're going to get your number. We want to talk to everybody, because this is serious. And like we said last week when we had our show, the people are hurting. America. And Erica 281, I'm coming to you next. And Daweed, I see you on, and you push one. We're going to come to you after him. But the people are hurting. The people want something to be done. The sovereignty movement is a movement. And if you don't understand what it's all about, you know, like I said, come to the conference. A conference call we're having. We're having it every Wednesday. We're going to have a conference call every Wednesday for you all to understand the importance of us coming together as a nation. Even if you feel like it's not going to do any good, we still need you to call on the conference call and just listen. The phone number for the conference call is area code 559-726-1300. And the access code is 151-286. Call in this Wednesday. We're going to have it at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call in and just listen, just like you're doing on the show right here, because we want everybody to understand you don't have to file sovereignty if you don't want. It's not mandatory for this movement. All you have to be is a Hebrew and be willing to stand up, because it's time for us to stand up now. Area code 281, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm the same brother that called us to a 7-day fast for
yes, sir.
The request that we would need to know to move forward. Okay. Now, the Hebrew Israelite men. Okay, we're not punked out, and we're not ready to go blindly or let the anger overrule our Heavenly Father. He has called us to wait upon the answer. We don't have the answer yet, okay? And just like a lot of the other callers are saying, one thing we have to understand, this is a 75-year-old plan. They used this Trayvon Martin deal to take us into a civil war, a race war, white against black, okay? They have the money. They have been buying guns, ammunition, bombs, all kind of stuff, and all we've been doing is trying to survive and barely paying our rent and barely being able to eat, losing our jobs, okay? We all are angry, but if we go into this inflow, we're going to lose. They waiting on that. That's what they want, okay? We waiting on the Lord, okay? His word is powerful, and yes, that's what we're going to use as well. But we waiting on the answer from the Father. He's going to give it to us. He has not given it to us. If we don't wait upon him, we're going to be slaughtered. And just like the brother said earlier, okay, then most of us are dialed, and then we may have to wait another, if the world continues to exist, another, 100 years or so? The movement, like the sister said, is powerful. A lot of people is waking up, okay? That's the sign that we still should wait upon the Lord. He's going to give us what we need. We're too close now. And so the enemy knows it, and they are trying to flush us out. They trying to make us bow down and be ignorant. They trying to make us jump off into something that we're not ready for. They are. So we're going to make them wait, because we don't have to rush anything. You know, they constantly doing things. But our Heavenly Father did not bring us this far to leave us. And
Hallelujah.
He's sitting there watching us, okay? He do not want us, because his plans is different from ours. We already know.
True.
He don't think like we think. Mm-hmm. And if he led us, he is going to feed us. And as he feed us, we're going to rise up, and we're going to be able to do what we're supposed to. But we cannot make this stupid decision. Now, our men, we not punked out. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if I kill 50, if I kill 100 before I die, I feel like I'm all right, okay? But that is not what our Heavenly Father wants now, okay?
Nice.
Because if the mighty men die out in a frivolous way, then you have sinned. You've gone against our Heavenly Father's will. So let's just calm down. Let's keep on organizing. Let's keep praying and trusting in our Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about punking out. I'm not talking about being scared, because right now all of us should be getting ourselves ready. All these brothers and sisters that were talking about, we don't need guns, we have a Bible. No, 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 you're understanding now. You better get some guns and you better get some bullets, but we're not going to take to the street and start shooting and killing white folks. We're not going to do that.
That's not what we want to do.
Organize. Okay?
Right.
So, again, and I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let you all continue to talk because, you know, yeah, we got something going now and it's gaining momentum. But let's continue to do what we do and let's continue to trust and pray and ask the Father because we still waiting on the answer. We haven't given it yet. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't know if the Most High has not given it yet. He's given a lot of things for us to do. The problem is that we can't get everybody else to understand to come along with us. Now, I agree with you, the caller who said that. We're not, let me say this, and I want to make sure we get this clear. A lot of people come on this show, and they are able to say what they want to say, and we allow people to vent and get things out. We are not promoting any violence. We are not promoting anybody do anything to hurt another nation. We are not promoting anybody to take guns to the street. We are not promoting any of the negativity that it may sound like on this line, but people are upset. People are hurting. They want something done. And all we're saying is gather together with us. Don't be afraid to call yourself a Hebrew Israelite. If the other people can march, let us get together and march on Washington. Again, if you're interested in doing that with us, please email us at Yaena, YAHEENAYISRAEL, at gmail.com, and we will give you all of the details to it, the particulars as to when and how we're going to do it. And I'm going to open up the lines to Brother Dawid in Sweden. Brother Dawid, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Okay, all praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Look, I want to read something, okay? And I know y'all want to hear this because this is going to clarify things real quick where we at, okay? Ezekiel 37. We're going to start with Ezekiel 37:1. It says, "The hand of Yah was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahuwah and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones." They say dry bones. Bones. "And caused me to pass by them round, and behold, they were very dry in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Right? "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Ayah, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the words of Ayah. Thus saith Yahuwah unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Ayah." Now, I'm going to stop right there because y'all know the rest.
Okay.
The reason why I read that because I want to make one thing clear. Ayah has already gave us the answer. The answer is for us to unify and do exactly
what
we are doing today. Now, Trayvon Martin was killed because we are not unified to bring the people to justice what they have done, what they've done to our young brother. Now, people say, why are we getting so upset about this case and not the other hundreds of thousands of brothers that have been dying over these years? Well, for one simple fact, this brother was innocent. He was not a hood. He was an innocent child that went to the store to get some Skittles. Now, Ayah don't like ugly. Okay? Y'all killed an innocent child. So we getting upset because we are people of the light. We are people of righteousness. And Ayah is breathing his breath on us to wake up the dry bones. Okay?
Yeah.
Yahuda Project is bringing those bones together. We are creating a sovereignty movement to bring those bones together. We are separating ourselves from the United States of America legally to bring those bones together. That is the answer. That is Aya calling us. We got to stand up on our 2 feet and do something and accept that breath of Aya for us to do something. Now, I know that we should be waiting for Christ and that spirit and all that stuff. But understand, we are still confused with Christianity. We are Hebrews of the seed of Ayah. That means we got the breath to step and stand and do what Ayah has told us and made us to do. Right now, white people are looking at us. They think we're going to go out here and riot and destroy and kill some stuff. We didn't do that. What are we doing? We're going back to the basics. We are turning to the spirit within us, which is Ayah. We are going to stand up. They are looking at us, and they are scared. Okay? Now, I got to bring something to y'all attention. There's something on the internet called Slavery by Another Name. You need to watch that. Why? Because Slavery by Another Name gives us another history about Jim Crow and how we were enslaved. Does anybody know? Maybe some of y'all do that are actually into studying this. The last slave was freed in the United States around 1945, 1950. We were enslaved until then. It wasn't until they attacked Pearl Harbor that they were scared enough to release us from slavery. The last slaves in Africa were 1965 and 1971, and still, 2013, there's still people enslaved. Now, why am I saying this? Well, because the world is waiting for us to stand up and recognize our Creator. When we start to speak up and demand justice in the United Nations and say, set our people free. Here is the crimes you did. This is what we're coming for. And we do not stop. If we have to die, then we die. But we do not stop until our people are free. That's doing it, and that's the answer. All praise to Yah.
Hallelujah, hallah. Powerful. This brother is in Sweden. He's over in the country of Sweden. And like I said, this is a powerful movement because guess what? We got them all over the world. We got them coming from the church. The church is waking up, y'all. The church. I mean, this is some powerful stuff. And like we said, the man said he hasn't given us the answer. Yes, he has. That's the answer. For the young lady that's calling from Florida, sovereignty movement is the answer because if, as much as we break away from them and they're not able to do what they need to do to us and for us through commerce, because the only way you're going to hurt them is in the pocketbook. That's the only way you're going to hurt them is in their purse. You hurt them with their commerce. You hurt them with their dollar. And we need to stand up and be a nation. They're killing our babies in the street and giving the gun back to the man who did it. That's unacceptable. Our president is too afraid to say anything, and he's stuttering over his words and tripping over his words and very careful as to what he say. And we put you in office as a black man to represent us. Come on, how much more are we going to have to take? I mean, seriously. This is an insult.
And sister. Who's supposed to stand if he ain't? Who's supposed to stand if he ain't? And who's supposed to stand if we ain't? You feel me?
I feel you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we're doing this march on Washington, D.C., and we're not doing this march as African-American people. We through with that. Forget all of that. We're not doing this march as black people. We're done with that, too. We're marching as Hebrew Israelites. Let's see how many of you all show up. Let's see how many of you all email me and show up. Because everybody's sitting back wondering, where we going? Well, y'all ain't told us what to do. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. It's time to stand up. And we'll see how many show up. But if it's only five, we'll go with five. Just like Abraham sat and negotiated with the Most High for Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, pre-adventure, it'd be 50. Will you spare the city for 50? Pre-adventure would be 30. Will you spare for 30? He got all the way down to 10. He said, if it's 10 righteous, I'll spare the city for 10 righteous.
I heard
that.
But if we got
10 people that's willing to go, then we're going to go with those 10.
You tell them, sister.
It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And the lady has a right to be mad at the Hebrew Israelite men. It's unacceptable. Show up. Keep your guns at home and show up.
We ain't talking about shooting nobody in the street. We just want you to show up. I understand it. I really don't understand it. But, again, if you have a comment, question, or concern, please push 1. And area code 813, I'm going to open your mic back up again because you didn't get a chance to make a comment. You're free to speak or whatever. Are you there? Area code 813, are you there? They must have pushed you by accident. 813, I'm going to put you back on hold. If you want to make a comment, please hang up and call back in, and I'll know that you're wanting to say something. We have a lot of people on this call. There's a lot of people from Atlanta that has called in. I don't know who passed the word in Atlanta, but Atlanta seems like it's ready to get up and get popping up in here, and we're trying to make some things happen. And if Atlanta has to be the headquarters and the movement by which we make this happen, we don't care. I'm in Ohio. We can come to Atlanta. If that's where it's going to be at, and that's where we need to get moving at and organize from Atlanta, then that's where it's going to be at. We have to start doing something. People talking about, we waiting on y'all. Y'all waiting on us.
I heard that. Exactly. Exactly. Y'all is waiting on us. Because if we look at it the other way around, that's what we've been taught. That's why this world is destroyed. Because we waiting. But we don't understand history. We don't understand how they manipulated our spirituality to work against us. But because we are destroyed by the lack of knowledge, because we are ignorant, we don't take the time to study and listen, or even listen to each other when we try to tell each other what time it is. You see? But if we start to look at history, now we need to study Jim Crow, study the apartheid, study how they suppressed our people, understand that we were a powerful people coming up. A powerful people coming up. Every time we built something, just like the Black Wall Street, they came in there and tore it down. They had laws specifically made for us to not survive. In the Jim Crow era, they call it the chain gang or whatever it was. When we were free from slavery, from 1965 all the way into the 20s, into 45, they had us on the chain gang, building up all the roads down south, building up everything that you see in the United States of America was on us. And they use the same method of saying we were just hanging out on the street. So they take a group of us, put us in prison, and put us to work until we died. Now here we are again, 2013. We got over 2 million of our brothers in the streets over stupid crimes of drugs that they put in the neighborhood. It's the same thing. Now how are we supposed to come together if they continue to destroy our unity? Now if we unify and we get that bravery in our heart, and we say, Aya, you are waiting for us. It's time for us to stand. And we trust that you are going to be behind us when we stand. Mm-hmm. What can stop us? What can stop us? Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Jehovah is our sun and shield. Who then could master us?
Heard that.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 If you have a question or a comment, please push 1. We definitely want to hear from you. We're excited about the energy that's on this phone. People are ready to do something. And for those of you who are not sure who we are, what we're talking about, we are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Yaakov, of Israel. And we are the children of the diaspora. We're the direct descendants of the African slave trade. And we have grown up. It's our generation that's on the move. And it's our generation that's going to stand up for ourselves. And it's our generation that's going to be an example for our children. Because our sons and our daughters are ready to do something. But what they're ready to do, we need to try to control. Because we don't want to fight violence with violence. We're going to fight you in your own court. We're going to fight you with your own law. And we're going to fight you with your own system. And we're going to watch y'all open the door for us to be able to move like we're supposed to move. With the authority that we need to move in. Because we can call those things that be not as though they were. And I'm going to do that right now. We shall win. We shall be victorious. And we shall get our voices heard when we do what we need to do. So if you have a comment, a question, concern, an issue, please push 1. This is an open forum, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. Brother Dawoo, how did you like? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is Adonia. I just wanted to say that it's not necessarily in the numbers. You understand? The Almighty said it's only going to be a remnant of folks going back to the land. You understand? And so, you know, so we could tell them whether they hear or forbear. That's what we got to do. You understand? We got to keep the door open. You understand? For people to come and grasp on and put their efforts in building this nation. We got to be committed for a nation. That's what we got to do. We got to be committed to building this nation. Find out what you can do that's going to build a nation. Hallelujah.
Hey, sister, were you going to ask me about the meeting that we had on Wednesday?
Yeah, the meeting we had about the sovereignty movement. I mean, how did you think that went? Because to me, it was very powerful.
Man, I think it was perfect. I think it's like that's exactly what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. I was thinking about it all day. And I'm going to tell y'all something. Mm-hmm. I actually have an economic plan that we can use to get out of this, which I want to bring up on the meeting on Wednesday.
Okay.
And it's going to work because I'm talking, like I said, being in Sweden, I meet brothers from Gambia, Senegal, Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. Congo, Cameroon, Uganda. Mm-hmm. I'm talking everywhere. I'm like, wow. You see what I'm saying? So Aya has me here for a specific reason.
Okay.
And when I speak to these brothers about us being Hebrews, they're like just blown away. And I know, and I have some brothers down in Africa that want to actually set up something, which I'm going to talk to y'all on Wednesday about, and it's going to tie everything together, and I can feel the spirit of
Ooh.
Our Father moving, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Moving.
I have
to say something. I can only call in for a little while because I have to go somewhere, but I just want to tell y'all thank you so much for just being you. All praise Allah. You know, I'm so excited and happy. Y'all just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we are happy that Huenet is on board because you have the ability to reach out to the Hebrew brothers and sisters that are international. And once we get this movement going, wow, what is it going to be? I'm scared to know what it's going to be because it's going to be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of brothers and sisters that are going to be coming into the knowledge. And that's a beautiful thing, and that's what everybody's afraid of. But you know what? You can't stop the hand of the Most High. You can't stop it.
You can't stop it. You can't stop it.
Nah, that is true, Tom Key. I'm so proud of you people, man. You understand? You bring tears to my eyes to see the way the Almighty is moving with us. You understand? This generation has the opportunity here, you understand, to bring us bring us up out of this mess that we're in. You understand? We gotta do this. I mean, we're going to do it, whether it's this generation or not, because it's the Almighty's plan here. He said that he's going to get the glory from the whole earth. You understand?
Yeah.
So I pray that it be in our generation. I don't want to die and don't have nothing set up.
Yeah.
But brother, you're gonna
get the ball rolling, okay? And you planting the seeds, getting the ball rolling. And even if we don't survive it and we can't see it, just know that by you talking here and getting us excited just by hearing your voice and by us laying the plans, we got some brothers and sisters that probably ain't old enough yet to do something but are excited in their spirit. And then when they going to hear this later on, like they might shut down YouTube, whatever, but these MP3 files are going to be saved. Someone else is going to hear it. It's inevitable that we win this because it is written in the word of Allah. So we won this.
Yes.
Okay, y'all. I'm going. I'm going to see you Wednesday, okay?
All right. I look forward to seeing you. That's Brother Dawid from UNET, and he's calling in from Sweden, from the country of Sweden. We got Hebrew Israelites all over the world that's listening to the show. And thank you so much for your comment. We really appreciate it.
Okay, much love, y'all.
Shalom.
And I want to say something, too. I want to say something to all of the people that are on this line. We are people who have come out of the church. We are people who come into the knowledge of who we were, who we are, who our ancestors are, what they did, you know, because they gave us a history. They told us about our black history, so-called. But our history is far more richer than that because we are the original children of the 12 tribes of Jacob.
Hallelujah.
We're Jacob's children. Judah is in the church, living in. They're living in a crooked system. They are supporting a crooked system, and the Most High is telling you to come out of her, come out of it. And everybody knows it ain't right. Everybody knows it's not real. But we're here to let you know that when you make the transition, we're here for you. When you make the transition, we're here to help you get through it. We know what you're questioning in the church. We've been there. I was a pastor in the church. I know what it was all about. And we said, if you don't know what's going on and you want to make baby steps, all we're telling you to do is to contact us. My email address again is Yaina, and that is my name, and it's spelled Y-A-H-E-E-N-A. Israel, which is Israel with a Y, and it's spelled Y-I-S-R-A-E-L @gmail.com. Email me if you need questions or you want somebody to pray with you. Email us. We're ready to do those things. Like I said, it seems like Atlanta is going to be the spot because Atlanta is blowing us up over here. We got a lot of 404 area codes on this line. And if Atlanta is going to be the place, the headquarters where we're going to do it, we will come to Atlanta to get this thing done. That's how important it is to us. Again, I got to calm myself down because I'm getting excited. If you have a question or anything, please push one because we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. And we're going to go on to, let's see, area code 813. We're going to try you again, and then we're going to do area code 352. Go ahead. You're on the air. 813, are you there? Maybe they pushed one by accident, but we're going to leave this mic open just in case. Area code 352, if you have something else you want to say, your mic is open. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, would that be me?
Yes, that's you.
Yes. Oh, thank you, sister. I'm glad you said a lot of people are a lot of Israelites are coming out of the church. You see, in the church, they are talking about Jacob's trouble, and they don't know who Jacob is. So the people there is the confusion of faith in this church, and in particular the Seventh Day Adventist church from which I came. You know, so I'm so glad that our people are really, really, really standing up. Yah bless you, my sister, and all the others who are putting these ideas together. The people are coming together now. They are coming together now, and as the brother said, they are scared because when Judah, who will lead this movement, when Judah stand up, things get torn down, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget L.A. with Rodney King, you know. So Zechariah tells us that the Lord is going to save the tent of Judah first.
Yes, he will.
And rulership comes in. It's in Zechariah chapter 12. He shall lift up the tribe of Judah first. Judah is going to rise up and stand up. And when that lion roars, brothers and sisters, when the lion of Judah roars, The it has the effect of causing you to freeze. You understand?
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, it has the effect of causing you to freeze. And when you are frozen, you are immobile, you are immovable. You're easy target for that roaring lion. But right now, Judah, you see, we are not the lion of the jungle now. We're a domestic lion now. Because the lion of the jungle, you can't, as the brother, flash a whip and let it jump up on a stool. Yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
You can't put your hand in the mouth of the lion and pull it out to entertain people. You cannot do that with a jungle lion. But you can do that with a lion who has been domesticated. And that's what is happening to Judah now. So now the lion is beginning to rise up on those hind legs.
Yeah.
And those That year is beginning to rise up in righteous anger and power. So I would disagree with a brother who called earlier and said, we don't have to do anything. We're not doing anything stupid. We are doing what the Most High called us to do. Remember, brothers and sisters, we have the weapon of mass instruction, which is the Torah. And the Apocrypha, we have those. Yes. That is stronger than their weapon of mass destruction. And so we have that. So rise up, Judah. Rise up. Yes. Your day has come. Your day has come. And those Edomite murderers, those Amalekite murderers, they are scared because they know who we are. And they cannot stop it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all got me excited today. Erico, wait a minute. Erico 404, hold on a minute. I'm opening up your mic, but you know what? You guys got me excited today. The church is waking up. The pastors are calling, saying they're coming out of the church. Atlanta is the place. If Atlanta has to be the headquarters for this thing, we'll come to Atlanta. Erico 404, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. This is Maurice Zerubbabel calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Let me shalom to all the listeners. Shalom to my brothers and sisters. I'm calling to share that word of the true creator with you. In the book of Isaiah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I hear my phone ringing. In the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter, starting at the 10th verse, it says, who among you that feared Yah, that obeyed the voice of his servant, that walk in darkness and have no light? Let him trust in the name of Yah.
Hallelujah.
Elohim. See, and that's what the point that we must do it is that our Redeemer require us to stay upon him. He require us to build a storehouse up for the needy, the poor, and the downtrodden. And all that delivery have always came at the hand of the Almighty. In the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, starting at the 8th verse, he said, my name is Yah, and I shall not share my glory with another, neither give my praise to graven images. One of the first things we always have to do is to give glory to the Creator. And how did we always get out of any captivity that we was ever in? It was not by marching to Washington, D.C. It was not by those efforts. It was by us returning our hearts back to the true and living Creator. The only reason that the churches are waking up today is by the Spirit of the Almighty, bringing them not money, treasures, not Cadillacs of gold. Those things don't even mean nothing to the people at church no more. What means something to them is, what is the truth? Where did I come from? Who am I? And that is where all the servants that were sent, they were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter, it says, therefore the redeemed of Yah shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforts you. And who art thou that thou shalt be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of a man which shall be made as grass, and forget a Yah, thy maker, that stretched forth the heavens alone, and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he was ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasten to be loose, and they that shall not die in the pit, nor his bread shall fail. But I am Yah, the Elohim, divided sea who waves war. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I have put my words in his mouth, and have covered thee in the shadows of my hands, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. And that's what he's saying unto us today. This is our season. In the book of it says, there's a time and a season for everything up under the sun.
And this is the time of our people waking up. So to all my listeners, understand that Trayvon Martin didn't die in vain. Understand that as soldiers, as people that returned it unto Yah, we're going to have casualties. But the scriptures speak of these things. This is nothing new. The blood of Trayvon, the blood of our people, the blood of our ancestors cried unto Yah from the ground. He told Abel that the righteous, he shall revenge the shedding of their blood. So those that trust in Creator, he says one more verse I'd like to read in the book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. He said, awake, awake, and put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, thy holy city. For henceforth shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust and rise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thy neck from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus said Yahweh, you have been sold, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you shall be redeemed without money. This redemption that we're going to go through is not going to require an economic bank. It's not going to require us gathering together just in unity in and of itself. But we must gather in the spirit of truth and righteousness, because that's who's gathering us together, the Creator, for us not to fear, to understand that it's time to stand up. Yes, stand up as a Hebrew Israelite. Stand up and tell the truth. We've been lying so long that we don't know who we are no more. Once you stop lying, once our brothers stand up and be fathers in their houses, because the scriptures of fathers say that it would turn the hearts of the sons and the hearts of the fathers back to each other. These things must happen, and they will happen. But the things that we are going through today, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. It must happen, because your redemption is near. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Everyone, this is some powerful stuff. Like I said, the energy that's flowing through these phones today is powerful, and we thank everybody for their comments. And, you know, we allow everybody to give their comments. But one thing I'd like to say is when we come on board and we give everybody an opportunity to speak, and when we share different things with you all as the people on this phone line, we do this in preference because the Most High has given us a mission. He has given us things to do. And just like Joshua and them was told to march around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, that's exactly what we're going to do when we come together, when we march on Washington. We are coming together as a nation. We are coming together to show unity. We are coming together to do what we need to do to let everyone know who we are, because that's how the truth is going to get out, and that's how they're going to know we're doing something. Because as long as we stay scattered in our little corners and our little cities, and we talk on the Blog Talk radio show, and we talk among ourselves on Facebook, and we do all these things, as long as we stay fragmented, they don't worry about us. But the moment we come together and we begin to pray, the Most High is able to show his people that we're standing up and we're standing strong. But so for all of you all who don't want to go, we don't have a problem with that. But for the soldiers that's ready to take stones, and we're going to march because everybody's marching. But the Hebrew Israelites are sitting back still waiting on y'all. So we're going to let everybody that's going to do that, do that. You guys stay back and pray for us. But we're going to Washington and we're going to march, because our babies are being slaughtered in the streets. I'm going to open up the mic to area code 404. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, we're all praising. Shalom, shalom. I think,
shalom.
Yeah, that's me. Shalom, shalom,
yes,
Brother Jeremy.
Yes,
I'm calling from Atlanta as well, and you're right. Atlanta is really showing up big time, and I'd like to just praise the Most High Yah for each and every one on this line today. Yes, I'm feeling the spirit, and I just couldn't hold my peace no longer. I had to vibe in to all the brothers and sisters who have spoken so far. The sister who called earlier, the one that the Christian preacher, sister, I'd like to praise the Most High for her. She's a big person right here in Atlanta. She vibes in on a lot of programs around here, and I praise Yah for her. She stands strong, she stands firm, and she's very committed. She, like the rest of us, have gone through the Christian church, and the Most High called us out of that. Before I say anything else, a couple of scriptures I'd like to share. Zechariah, chapter 11, verse 5, verse 4. Thus saith Yah, my Elohim,
feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them and hold themselves not guiltiness. And they that sell them, S-E-L-L, on the slave auction blocks, say, blessed be Yahweh, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. We can see that they hold themselves not guilty. But the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, Yahweh says, verse 3, Yah is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Under their wisdom, they acquit themselves of the crimes that they perpetrate upon us. But Yah is not going to acquit them. Like I agree with every brother and sister that has called so far, yes, our strength lies in the Most High Yah, who is going to, not maybe, not put it off, not contemplate it, but he has spoken it in his word. He is going to deliver these children of Israel. He's going to make our enemies dust.
That is correct.
Under our feet when he vanquished them. So I'm feeling the energy here. I'm vibing in. I'd like to, again, you know, just give a shout-out to everyone that's in here. I'm not going to be long-winded. I just want to vibe in and let you all know that I'm with you. I'm feeling the spirit. And, yes, our time has come. There's a whole lot of things this enemy has devised against us. But we, those of us who know and who understand the words of the Most High, y'all know that there's never been a time that we can, and we can even in this dispensation of time, do anything without y'all being the focal point and being the main player in what's going on, what's transpiring. We are his children. He loves us above all his creation on this planet.
That is correct.
You only, he says, that you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, O Israel, I will do what? I will punish you for all of your sins. And see, we are under contract. We defaulted. We broke the contract. He lived up to everything he said he was going to do.
Ooh.
But it's us who preached the contract. But guess what? He has a healing of that breach. He's going to seal that breach, disperse it, make a new covenant. There will be no force on this planet that can wreck with us with the Most High empowers us. So you're right. Moving on the spirit of his people all across the planet, the church. And those of y'all who still have family members in these churches, you might want to give them this information. You know, this will help you even to testify, to let them read and study a lot of things on their own. You know, have them to go out and research this Piso family. That's spelled P-I-S-O. The Piso family of Rome was a rich group of aristocrats that formulated and put together the books named Matthew through Revelation.
Okay.
That's their family members over there. Those characters over there, Yah does not speak in Matthew the Revelation. Those are not his words.
That is
our
correct.
Words are from what? Bereshit to Malachi, which we've been taught to call it what? We've been taught to call it Genesis through Malachi. But see, even Genesis is incorrect. That's generation of Isis. We are not the generation of a pagan Egyptian deity. So it's just a matter of us knowing and learning collectively like we're doing now. Let's bring this energy together. Let's go to the Most High Yah, my blood brother Susan, because if Yah is for us, who can be against?
That
so
is
I
true.
I pray Most High Yah for each and every one of y'all.
Hallelujah.
Here it is. Our time has come. Praise you, Yah. Praise
Hallelujah.
You, Yah. Praise
Hallelujah.
You, Yah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom, brothers and sisters.
Shalom.
The energy is powerful. Everybody's talking. You know what? We want everybody to know, you know, because there are going to be people that are going to be listening to this, and there are people that are coming out of the church. And we do have two perspectives. We have the non-Messianic and the Messianic. We have some that believe in the whole book, and some only go from Genesis to Malachi. But the fact of the matter is we're still family and we still love each other and we still coming together to do what we need to do as family for the family. So that is our foundation and that's what we do. So if you hear something on here that don't sound a little right or sound a little strange, you know, everybody, like I said, two different interpretations of the word and we believe what we believe. But at the end of the day, we love each other and we support each other with whatever we need to do to make this thing happen. There's some powerful stuff going on. Kavai, we haven't heard from you. Are you there?
Yes, Kavai is here. Kavai is listening.
I hope my sister ain't went to sleep on me. I was just checking on you to see what you were doing. She might be tired, you know.
I am a little tired, but I am listening.
Hallelujah. What do you think about all this that's going on?
I think it's very, very powerful. What I'm hearing, and what I'm feeling, and what I see is being projected is the spirit of unity. That is the key.
Yes.
And that's the energy that I'm feeling. I'm feeling the energy of unification. And that alone is a resounding sound throughout the whole universe. I mean, the words that have been put in the atmosphere, the words that have been projected into the atmosphere, that have been spoken on this show today, has an energy, and it has momentum.
Okay.
And all of this that we are saying is causing things to be transpired in the other dimensions, and things are starting to roll. And the word of unification, we got to do something. Stand up. All of those are words and an alarm of come together. It is the energy of unification that is being put out in the atmosphere. And that is what is transpiring. It's coming in different words, it's coming in different forms, but the root of everything that is being said is let's unify. And that is the mindset that we have to have. Because with that thought process, because thoughts are real and thoughts are material, and when you think about something, you put your thought in the atmosphere, it is an atom, and it will attract whatever you put out in the atmosphere. So the words of unification, the thought of unification is going out in the atmosphere, and the people are beginning to understand we have to come together. So what's going to happen? You put that in the atmosphere, and people are going to get it in their hearts. Let's come together. Let's unify. Let's come together. Let's unify. We are one. We got to come together. One people, one mind, one spirit, one heart, one work, one drive, one direction. It all goes back to unification, and that's where it needs to stay. So as all of this is being projected out, this is all supernatural. This is all coming straight from the other realm. It's happening in the other realm, so therefore it's going to manifest on the earth. Unification. It's powerful. I think it's powerful. I believe we have people that are willing to do and not just say. I believe we have people willing to walk and not sit down. I believe we have people that are willing to do something. Something. A lot of times people feel like when you talk and you talk and you don't do, then you're not doing anything. But one of the most powerful things and most laboring things you can do is begin to put stuff out in the atmosphere. That is labor. Putting your words in the atmosphere, your words begin to work before the actions catch up with it. So people don't even understand that's how things begin to transpire. You put it in the atmosphere, and it begins to attract. So all that we have put out into the atmosphere is attracting those who have the mind to actually put the feet and the hands and the movement to everything that has been projected into the atmosphere. So I praise the Most High. I praise the Creator for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! She don't say much, but when she do, man, there's some powerful stuff jumping out. Like she said, the vibration is just vibrating, and it's like a sound, and it's vibrating, and it's reaching the Most High. And he said, oh, my people are beginning to wake up. Oh, they get ready to stand. Oh, they believe in me. Oh, they calling on me. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Area code 352 is pushed again. 352, go ahead, sweetheart. You on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can,
sweetheart. Go ahead. Okay, let me clear up what I was saying. First of all, I already know, I'm not telling everybody to go get your gun and kill the first white person you see. What I'm saying is this, we need to buy some guns, period, but pass the guns. We need to make it so that these individuals that are killing our children, understand that if they kill our children, they're going to have to deal with us one way or the other. That's not every white person you see walking down the street. I also want to say, when we was coming into the land and the Most High sent the 12 of them out to scatter the land and see what's going on, and they came back, and what did they say? They said, oh, they too big, they giants, this, they'll kill us, this, they'll do this, they'll do this. And because they was cowards, we spent 40 years in the wilderness because they would not trust in the Most High and go in there and do what they was told to do. We spent 40 extra years in the wilderness. What I'm saying to you is this. Even in the land of our captivity, the Most High says, if you turn from your wickedness and you turn to me, I'll take care of you. We all Israelites or even if we don't know ourselves, we still Israelites. And if we all, I don't have no problem with sovereignty, but what I'm saying is this. If we all as Israelites get together and decide that we're going to hold these people, not the whole nation of white people, the specific white people that are killing our children, accountable for what they're doing for us, they will think twice before they do it again. That man sat on TV with arrogance in his face and in his body, and he didn't say, forget the nigga I killed, but that's exactly what his face said. And to add insult to injury, his lawyer got on TV and told the world, we're going to give him back the gun that he killed Tayvon Martin with. And that's an insult. And we could march to Washington all we want to, and we can get sovereignty. But at the end of the day, people only understand two things. They understand violence, and they understand when you mess with their money. That's what they understand. So if we don't want to do it in a violent way, then we need to mess with their money. When them people was in Alabama striking for them buses, when they had to sit in the back of the bus, they went on for months and months and months. You know why they let them sit anywhere they wanted to? Because they lost money. Not because they said, oh, we like niggas. Yeah. No, because they lost their money. And money is what they understand, and they understand violence. So if you don't want to get your gun, and I'm not saying get your gun and kill a first wife people person, you see, but what I am saying is that we should do something than to let America understand that if you personally kill our children, we're going to deal with you. I want to say one more thing. Believe if this was a young Muslim boy, America would be on fire because ain't no way in the world Farrakhan would allow this to happen. We got to stand up. We've been praying for a very long time. What makes you think the Most High is waiting for us to stand up?
I want to say something to what you said, sis, and you made a good point when you talked about, our oppressors understand hitting them in their pockets. Like you said, when you hit them in their pockets. So here's the most powerful thing that you could ever do to hit them in their pockets is if you detach yourself from the very system that they have you enslaved to, making money for them. Detach yourself from this. And that's what we're going to do. Can you imagine? Can you imagine thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of our people cutting that umbilical cord to their system and coming out of their system? Do you understand what it's going to do to their system?
Yeah, I do, but what I also understand is Israel that's getting welfare checks, that's getting food stamps, that's getting Social Security, that's getting Medicaid, are not going to walk away because they're not going to give up those little things that they're getting to walk away and be a sovereign nation. They're just not
going
to.
You don't have to.
You know how many? Once you walk away from them, that means that anything, your pensions and all the rest of that, they can now take away from you. Israel's not going
to
do that.
No, you don't have to lose anything. That's why we want you to call in on the call on Wednesday, because that's not true. If you work for your money and you got a pension, you don't have to lose anything. Now, the sisters and the brothers that's on welfare, then they can't do it, of course, until they start working on the workforce. But for the ones of us that do, that can do it, that are working every day to have a job, you don't have to lose nothing. Matter of fact, you're going to gain something. You're going to gain more than you lose, and you don't have to lose anything.
Okay, I didn't understand that. I'm not going to lose nothing because I'm not on any of that stuff. So I'm not personally going to lose something. But what I'm saying is that you know how long you have been asking Israel on this line to please come to your meeting? And I can tell you right now, it's very few of them that have called in or sent in money and decided to come. Because Israel is all about what's going on in their personal life, and as long as it's not affecting them, they like the men that walked into the land and said, no, they're giants. That's the bottom line. I mean, you can hate me for what I'm saying, but it's the truth.
We got to get tired
of being tired. We got to get tired of them gunning. I told you what happened with my son. That cracker moved because that cracker looked in my face and knew that I was going to do exactly what I said I was going to do to him if he said anything else to my son. You got to come. Look, if you living and you're alive and you have no life and you living under bondage, there's no reason for you to be alive. That's the bottom line. You either got to decide that we're going to live like human beings or we're going to die trying to. And that, like I said, that's why we'd be crazy to go walk out in the street and try to kill every cracker we see. Because they ain't going to do nothing but do more sugar on us. But they got to know. We might not kill all of y'all, but we're going to get the ones of y'all, like the Zimmerman ones of y'all that's killing our babies down in the street. You going to walk the street in fear because you ain't never going to know who's going to walk up on you or what they're going to do to you. And until they get that, they're going to keep killing our kids. And what do you say to your son? I'm not telling my grandson, you got to buckle down and kiss the ass of a white person because they might shoot you in the street. I mean, that's what we've been telling our kids forever. When we going to stand up and say enough is enough? We got to find something to do.
I agree. And let me say this while we're on here, because I'm glad I got you on here, because you know what, you the true soldier. And you don't bite your tongue, and we do appreciate everything you say, but at the end of the day, we trying to get people to understand. You know, and we have so many people that come on this show and come against everything we say and come against everything we do, and we let them give their comments, even though they completely, blatantly come against everything that we tell them to do or we suggest that we should do as a people, or we even say that we feel the spirit of Yah is pulling us to do. At the end of the day, they come on our show, they're comfortable with what they say, and they will get on the show and tell other people to contradict what we're doing. That doesn't bother us because at the end of the day, you're going to have those that are going to participate and you're going to have those that are not going to participate. You're going to have those that are going to get on the bandwagon and come, and you're going to have those that are going to stay behind and pray. You're going to have those that ain't scared, and you're going to have those that's hesitant about coming because they don't want to lose what they got or what they have acquired.
Exactly.
Our issue is this. You don't have nothing anyway, because at the end of the day, if they want to come in and seize your car, they can seize your car. If they want to come in and take your house, they can take your house. They have proven that they can kill one of our kids in the street with impunity and nothing happens. So guess what? My thing is this. If everybody else can get together and march and show themselves, the Hebrew Israelites, the most powerful people on the earth, need to quit sitting back in their houses talking about Yah going to come and get us. It's Yah's responsibility. We're going to do something.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Let me say this, sis, and I'm going to let you come back on and say what you got to say. I have to say this for the fact that we have Latino brothers and sisters that listen to the show. We got to understand that we were scattered to all four parts of the earth, and our people were dropped off over in Latin America just like they were dropped off in other parts of the world. So we got to stop saying, well, I'm going to be this Mexican, this is Mexican, that. Let's squash that. Because the fact of the matter is we got to come together, black and brown, bottom line. They're playing all of us. They're playing the Mexicans. They're playing the blacks. And guess what? We are the same people. And that's just the truth.
We are the same people, but at the same time, I live in Florida, and all the picketing, I ain't seen no Mexicans out there picketing and saying what was going on was wrong. What I'm saying is this. We are all the same people. We all come from different places, but what we need to deal with is Israelites in America need to get together. If we can get the Puerto Rican, if we can get the Mexican, if we can get all of the Latin countries or communities to come along with us, that's fine. But if we can't, we have to stand out as Israelite Americans, whether they come along at night. I don't have nothing against Mexicans. I have something against Zimmerman. Not Mexican.
I know that's right.
Let me,
and guess what? And his father was a Jewish. His father was a Jewish and a federal judge. So if they try to put us against each other, that's not going to work either. We're not going to go out shooting Mexicans, and we're not going to go out shooting Latinos. We're not getting ready to fight against our own brothers and sisters. All we're saying is if you want to come together, let's get together. Everybody that don't want to come, stay home. If you got something negative to say, keep it to yourself, because we just tired of all of the old antics. The same if you keep doing this, my husband has the same, and he says it to me all the time. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Now, we tired of all of the y'all this and y'all that and y'all going to pray and we need to do. It's time to get up and do something. And if you don't want to do something, just stay home.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother. Don't
believe
me. I mean,
guys. This is Carolyn. I'm on the line with Sister Cavonia. This is my first time coming on the line. And when we went to New York, I and Abraham and Sister Ima Hadura, we had a group of people that came on conference. But when it came time to go to New York, everybody got scared. Well, they're going to put us on camera. It's going to cut me off my stamps. It's going to cut me off my whip. It wasn't but 45 of us, a total of 100 that actually showed up in New York. And I see a lot of fear. Now, the Most High Yah, he said he's going to use an iron rod if we don't soon get it together. I'm tired of being beat by the system. I still don't want the Most High Yah to beat me. Right now, I'm laying in my bed, cannot get up for more than 30 minutes at a time because of what that beast has done to me in the hospital. But you know what? He can't take my life. It's like he couldn't take Job. Now, I do understand after going to theological school that new book was done by King James. He was a pedophile. He raped little boys, and he loved raping his own mama and killing her with no problem. Now, this is what we're dealing with when we're dealing with the Messianic and those that still believe in the New Testament. That's the only book, though, that talks about the Hebrews obeying your slave master. After being in there and learning that there were 9 books that are ghostwriters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were ghostwriters. They never existed. And you want me to believe that the Most High Yah came from the heavens to lay with a white Jewish or whatever she was woman to get a baby? Yeah, there were fallen angels laying with the virgins every day, but the Most High don't need to lay with nobody. And I said that while in theological school.
Let me say something to this sister right here. See, what you just did, and I understand where you're coming from, is the same mindset that they do to our people every day. It's rooted in religion. That's why I said, first of all, if you want to talk about the book, let's talk about the whole book being changed. Let's talk about a lot of stuff that they got from Kemet. See, a lot of our Hebrew brothers, Israelites, don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with the truth of the fact that a lot of stuff came from Egypt. And it's the truth.
All right,
my statement is this. This is my statement. My statement is put the whole book down. Let's come together with one mindset. Because we still divided with a book that they gave us. They gave us the book. The Most High created us. We are the book. We're fighting over a book that they gave us when we are the book.
All right.
And I want to say this, too, because Kavon knows my position, and I am going to err on the other side. You know, when you talk about the book and you talk about King James, when you really understand the story of King James was not a white man. He was actually black. King James was not a pedophile. He actually had 9 children, and those 9 children were put into slavery just like everybody else was. Those 9 children are among us. The descendants of those children are among us. And another thing I'd like to say is we try not to get on issues of doctrine on this show because that's not what this show is all about, but we do deal with it when it comes. I also like to say this.
There are also 25 other books that are mentioned in the scriptures that nobody knows where they are, and we're not talking about the Apocrypha. There's all kind of books mentioned in the scriptures that you can find in the scriptures that are missing. So this radio show here, In Love, is between Messianic and non-Messianic coming together as family. All we promote on this show is unity. When it comes to doctrine and belief, and whether you believe or whether you don't believe, we ask you to be careful with that, because we have a lot of Christians that are coming out of the church and they are looking for the answer. And we don't want this show to be a show of debate. We don't want this show to be a show of argument. We want this show to be a show of love and unity. And that's what we're promoting on this show. And irregardless of what happens, like I said, we love everybody. We give everybody an opportunity to give their comments, and we give everybody an opportunity to say what they have to say. But at the end of the day, this is about a family of people coming together, because family don't always believe the same thing. And I have a lot of non-Messianic brothers that I love dearly, brothers and sisters that I love dearly, and I always tell them this. When we have our conflict, I tell them this. I said, if we had a family of children, and there was five brothers and three sisters, and the five brothers believed one way, and one of the sisters believed into another way, but then one of the sisters was an atheist, and she didn't believe anything. Does that stop her from being your brother or your sister? No, it doesn't. Because guess what? Family loves each other irregardless of what we believe or what we don't believe. The issue of the Hamashiach and the book being not real, or the issue of the book being real on the left side opposed to the right side, we're going to handle all that in the wilderness. I guarantee you when we get there, and the church don't even know nothing about the wilderness because they're ready to get raptured up. But this you can take to the bank. When we get to the wilderness, oh, that's going to be settled. But for right now, while we're in captivity, let's not draw swords at each other and come up against each other for doctrine. Because I love you, sis. And the sister that calls from Florida, I love to hear her voice every Sunday, because she a real down-home chick. And she say what she mean, and that's beautiful to me. And we're going to continue loving each other, because like she said, we moving toward unity. And unity is the power that we need. Stop letting him put us against each other, because that's what he's always done, is put one against the other, and we're not going to let it happen today. So I just want you to know I love you, and we have to kind of put a cap on that, because we're trying to move in another direction. Go ahead, Brother Adonai, are you on the air?
Okay, I think that what we are is getting off the subject of us, of unity. You understand? Now, we have to understand, we have to come together under the need for us to come together at this juncture right here. The doctrine will be straightened out as we come together. You understand? The Almighty will make sure that happens. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we got to find a way where we're going to eat every day. You understand?
Right.
We got to find a way
right.
where other things that we need, you understand, as a nation of people, we got to find a way that we could support all of those things. You understand? Now, the sister said, she mentioned this about finances and stuff like that. It's not going to take much finances. All we got to do, I mean, not individually. Individually, you bring your $5 up to the treasury, you understand, and keep doing that. Don't stop putting your $5 in the treasury. And at the end of the fiscal year, you understand, we'll find out what we're going to support. You understand? And as we come together, the Almighty will broaden our understanding. The same way he's doing with this program right here. He's allowing us to come together and iron out our differences. We're going to iron out these differences because we're talking about the Creator. You understand? What I'm hearing here is that we don't have no faith in Yah. You understand? The Almighty said that He was going to guide us in the way that we should go, and He will protect us. You understand? So all we have to do is come together under our need. Our need here is so that we spend millions of dollars in this society alone, and we don't run nothing. We don't own nothing. You understand? We need to come together and put that money together and start building this treasury and start supporting our needs. All of us hate to go to these old European doctors. They don't do nothing but give us these pills, you understand, to kill us. slowly but surely. You know why slowly but surely? Because they're getting that paper from us every month or every week or however it's done. You understand? We need to come together and get our own doctors. We need some kind of infirmary, you understand, or pharmacy or something. You understand what I'm saying? We need to support those things. You understand? We start, if we want to take this money out of society, we start supporting our stuff. I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, like I said, much love to everybody. Kavai, you have something you want to say?
No, I'm just, I just have to say this. I do have something to say. Yes, I do. Let me retract what I said when I said no. I mean, yes, I do. And what I have to say is this. I am a very passionate person when it comes to when I see certain spirits that are rear their head. And religion is a spirit. I can't stand that spirit because religion have us divided right now. We are still divided. So with the energy and the mindset that we have to come together as one, religion is going to do everything it can to rear its head again to try to keep us divided. So whenever I see that, you know, I'm going to say something about it. People may not understand it. You may not understand it. But if I stand in the office and a position where Yah has positioned me in this day, this time, this hour to help be an instrument to unite anything that brings division, I'm going to say something about it because we're going to bring it back to the root. And the root is uniting. I will say something. And I don't care if people don't like me. I don't care if they get mad at me. I don't care no more because right now it's down to get that. It's time to put the rubber to the road and keep things going the way we have it going because this is crucial. Like you all said, our babies are being shot. I have three sons. I mean three beautiful sons, smart, intelligent young men. And I do not would want somebody to do that to my child, what was happening to Trayvon Martin. But not just Trayvon Martin. It's a whole slew of other young men. We've never heard their names. We've never seen their parents' faces. We've never heard the stories because a lot of the stories are kept locally, and they have not gotten the international attention like Trayvon Martin. I have three sons. And like the sister said in from Florida, I am a lioness when it comes to my children. Oh, you want to see something ugly? You won't even know which direction I'm coming. I wouldn't have shot Zimmerman. I would have blew the whole house up. That's what I'm telling you. I'm serious. So what I'm saying to you is let's keep it unified. Let's not let religion, I keep saying it, religion, like Yaina said, it's all going to be settled. Okay, since we know it's all going to be settled, then what we're going to do, we're going to allow ourselves to unify on the basis of we know who we are. We know what's been done. We all have the same history.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the direction we're going. That direction is coming out of the system. We know what has to transpire. So let's unite on that and stop letting these little things that religion causes, and that's division. It's the small things. They divide the book, so they divide the people. They did this, they did that. We all know what they did. We know what was done. But the point of the matter is we still are the people that are awakening. We are still the people that are being oppressed. And a lot of our people don't understand that this, like I said, this restlessness, this uneasiness, this ain't something that's just happening. It's being put in the spirits and the hearts of the minds of the people because it's coming from the Creator. I'm going to allow you to be restless. You won't rest because it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to do. It's time for you to move. It's time for you to unite.
Hallelujah.
And he's not going to allow us to get any rest. We've been asleep long enough. Get your butt up.
Come to you.
Hallelujah. Real talk now. Real talk.
Yeah,
Y'all done got a Kavah upset. Y'all done got her upset. Area code 281, I see you. I'm going to let you on the air in just a moment. He been pushing 111. No, girl, go ahead and let it flow. You know, I just want our sisters in Florida to know, like I said, my girl calling every week. She's been faithful. We love you. We love all of y'all. We don't have no issue with nobody. No. We just family, and family got to stand up. And like I said, if the mothers got to march. It's the black women, the mothers. Because guess what? It's not a war against just our children. It's a war against black women. I've been on the internet and my mouth is just hung open by how the black men talk about us like we a dog, like we don't deserve any respect, like we don't have any power. And if the mothers got to stand up and march, if the Hebrew mothers got to stand up and march on Washington, then if you men don't want to go there and stay home, but we going. And we're going to go up in their face and say, no longer will you tell us who we are. No longer will you classify us as what you want us to be. We are the Hebrew Israelites, and we demand for you to hear us. And we're going to march like everybody else marched because we've never done it before. We never stood. And they probably itching on them like, look at them. They ain't going to come out. Look at them. They scared to move. Look at them. Ain't nothing going to happen. They waiting on y'all. We ain't got to worry about them. And the fake Jews and all the fake Jews are sitting up in position laughing at us because they done stole our identity and they owning all the banks and stuff is daring us to come forward. And like I said, if it takes the women that's united arm in arm, Messianic and non-Messianic alike to march up on Washington, we going.
We are going. We're going. Because guess what? We were the womb that delivered you in the flesh, and we're going to be the womb that delivered you in the spirit.
That's right. That's right.
So if the womb's got to go, we're going to stand up. Because it's not a war against the children. It's just a war against our womb. They don't want us to birth no more. They don't want us to give birth anymore to the original people that walked the planet. They want us to stop. They want to stop all of that. But guess what? It's going to take the black woman. It's going to take the Latina woman. It's going to take those that got the wounds that deliver us in the flesh. We got to deliver them in the spirit. It's going to take us to do that. And guess what? They ain't going to know what to do because when we go up in their faces, it's going to look like they're looking at their own mouths. Here come the wounds. Here come the wounds. Here come the wounds.
We gonna birth a nation. We birthing a nation. I can't say it any more plainer than that. We're birthing a nation. We're black women, we're birthing a nation. We are the cradle of civilization. We're the ones who made it happen. Every black man that's standing up here on this Block Talk show that's giving a comment, they came through the womb of a black woman. We are standing up. We're saying you're not gonna shoot our babies in the street no more. It's not going to happen. And don't nobody say nothing. Al Sharpton, we thank you. Jesse Jackson, we thank you. What's his name? Lewis, the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan, we thank you. I used to sit in front of the television when I was little and watch Lewis Farrakhan on television, and my family was Christian. But every time he came on the show, on the television show, they made all of us come in and sit down and watch him because of the power that he had from his voice. And this man is old now. He's been screaming the same thing from a different perspective. Stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Well, guess what? Now we taking it over. We telling you the same thing. Stop making excuses and stand up.
Hallelujah.
We know we in captivity. We know we in captivity. We know what kind of government we dealing with. We know what they're capable of. We know they don't honor their word. But guess what? That still don't take away from the fact that we have a right to stand up.
That is correct.
We got to stand up. And the enemy loves for us to be divided. Whether this side of the book is right or that side of the book is wrong or that side of the book or all of the book, let me say something to everybody. Like she said, our blood runs blue. We are the royal family of the house of King God. We stand up. I'm so
sick
of that propaganda out about King David. Stop praying that mess. That's they lies. His family went into captivity. His children were sent into captivity. And they know where we are. And they watch us like a hawk.
Yeah.
Don't believe you don't have no royal power behind you.
A lot of us just ain't said nothing yet. Don't believe there ain't no royalty with you. A lot of us just ain't said nothing yet. But our time is coming, and we have things that we have to do. We have things we have to do politically that the average Hebrew can't do. We ain't on this show just screaming and hollering because we want to do something different from everybody else. We on this show screaming and hollering because God has mandated us to scream and holler. He mandated us to pull you together. He mandated us to build his nation. Royalty is in captivity with everybody else. And don't believe they're not. We're all
That's
in this
right.
thing together. We all pour together. And when he spoke to me and I said, when I realized who we were and what was going on, and he spoke to me through that word, and I said, oh, my goodness. He said, your kings will be in captivity with you. That means the royal family is in captivity, too.
Tumshi.
And then we have to sit down and we have to watch Queen Elizabeth and them trace around like that. And let me say something. Oh, my goodness, I didn't mean to go here. But you know what? Maybe this is the day that we go here. Maybe this is the day
we
go here.
We're
not
going there.
Just go here. Let me say something.
We going there. Yeah, we going there. You might as well go.
Let me say something. Let me just tell you right now. Queen Elizabeth in England go on the internet. I want you to pull up her heritage and her bloodline. She pulls her, when you pull up her family tree, she claims that she is from the royal house of King Dawid through one of the people in the Bible. And my mind is racing a mile a minute.
Joseph of Arimathea.
She claims that she is a part of the royal house of King David through Joseph of Arimathea, but he had two daughters, and those two daughters married into kingship, and that's how they bring the Merovingian kingship in it. And then you got white people. Let me tell y'all, you got people from France and people from Ireland and people from Russia saying that they are the 12 tribes of Israel. They're claiming to be us. Because they can trace their bloodline down.
They say that they're us through the tribe of Judah and through the tribe of Ephraim. Notice the two tribes. Notice the head. Ephraim was the head of the tribe of Yisrael, and Judah was the head of the tribe of the nation of Judah. So listen to what they're saying. They try to tie this thing up on both ends.
So not only do you have the Khazarian Jews claiming to be us, but you got white people out there. I went to an end-time conference one day in a hotel and walked into a room of, it was nothing but Caucasian people in the room, and the man stood up and said, we are the original tribe, the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happened at that moment, but at that moment, my son is 30 years old. Him and his friends were in the room. They came with us and sat in the back of the room, and they said that Jeremiah went to Ireland and married a woman in Ireland, and that is how they were able to continue the tribe on to Ireland. And my son is sitting in the back of the room with his blood boiling. And I'm sitting there like, please calm down. He came up to me in intermission, and he said, Mommy, are you serious? Are we going to sit through this? Are you going to tell them who you are and where we come from? Are we going to sit through this? The man got up with such authority. They gave all kind of accolades about this white man stood up on this podium and how he had been all over the world talking about his lineage was with the 12 tribes of Israel. And they gave all of his background about who he was and what he was doing. And he stood up and said, we are the original people of we are the lost 12 tribes of Israel, and we are the people that are coming together. And I'm sitting in front of this white man shaking my head like, you a liar. And I'm saying it out of I'm doing lip syncing like, you a liar. And you need to quit lying. And I said, you a liar. And my son's sitting there like, are you going to do something? Or are you going to just sit here and listen to this? And I told him, I said, son, I said, this ought to be a clear indication that we have to stand up for who we are. Because everybody wants to be us. Everybody's there traveling around the country doing seminars because they want to be us. And we are the people of the book, and we're afraid to stand up. Everybody wants to be us.
Everybody's professing to be us. We can't sit down anymore. Everybody wants to be, everybody's claiming to be, and Queen Elizabeth has, she claims that she has the throne that King David actually sat on. Not only does she have the throne, she has the crown with the 12 tribes, with the 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Not only does she have that, she has the scepter. She has all of our stuff. And when you watch the little gold carriage traveling around with the little horses and stuff, and everybody watching, and everybody oohing and cooing over this baby that's about to be born because they're supposed to be born into royalty, you ought to laugh because we're the royal people.
Exactly.
And it's hard for me. It's hard for me to watch it because I'm a part of the royal family. I can't sit back and watch this no more. I don't care whether you believe me or not. It don't really matter at this point. But we're getting ready to do something. So if you want to stay seated and you don't want to go, don't come. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Don't come. Don't come. Stay
home. And you know what?
Don't come.
The power, even though everybody may not come, Yaina, and that's okay, because it don't take a whole crowd of people to get a move. It takes not quantity, but it takes quality.
Yes.
Because the quality in what's going to be going and standing and representing is more powerful than the quantity of a whole bunch of mess. But let me say this. When you get that quality that is going to move and the backing of the creator. See, we got the backing of the creator. I don't need everybody else, because what's going to happen is when the backing of the creator comes, we are the instruments that's going to set everything up where everybody that didn't come is going to run to. They're going to have a place for refuge. I understand that everybody's not going to go, and I don't want everybody to come. Everybody don't have the right mindset. Everybody don't have the right spirit. Some people will come just for the purpose of causing division. Some people will come because they have been sold out, because they run to the oppressor to get validation. Shall I go with them? Tell me, Master, what am I supposed to do?
And you know what, Kavai, you know, we've been holding this back for a long time. But you know what, you guys, I had the opportunity to live in England, and I was there for a while, and I had the opportunity to live around the London area. And they used to follow me when I was there. They followed me. And I used to tell my husband, I said, somebody's following me. And he said, you know what, you're crazy. He said, you're always talking about somebody after you're somebody following you. You're crazy. I said, no, somebody is really following me. I said, every time I put the kids in the car and we go to the market or we go out on the A11, somebody is following me. One day me and my kids were on the country road and we were driving through the country roads of England, and this man decided that he was going to try to go around us because, you know, they do a lot of crazy driving. But he went around me. But when he went around me, he actually was in a truck. When he ran around me and he hit me and my kids, we were in a small car. We were in a little bitty car like a mini. I know you guys see it around all the time. When he hit me, my car sped up and spun around. And when my car sped up and spun around, people came. These men came from out of nowhere. They were like, are you all right? Are you and your children? There wasn't even anybody on the road. And I'm trying to figure out, where did all these men come from? And when I was like, me and my children are fine. We're all right. We're going to be fine. I'm on my way home. I was so scared. I wasn't scared about the fact that the truck hit me, but the fact that the men came from nowhere. These men came from out of nowhere. And I'm like, where are all these men coming from? And I got back in my car, and I drove home, and I told my husband, I said, I told you somebody was following me. And he was like, okay, well, you wasn't hurt. You know how men are. Nothing happened. Don't worry about it. One day I'm working on the base, and I'm working at this restaurant on the base, and this British lady comes into the place where I was working,
And me and my girlfriend were talking, because I was a Christian at the time, and we were talking about different things about the Bible and things that were supposed to happen. And she leaned up against the wall. She said, "You don't know who you are, do you?" And I said, "What do you mean I don't know who I am?" I said, "Of course I know who I am." She said, "No, you really don't know who you are." She said, "They were watching you from the time you got off the plane. When you got off the plane at Heathrow Airport, they've been watching you, and they've been following you." She said, "You don't know who you are, do you?" I said, "Why don't you tell me who I am, since I don't know who I am?" She said, "It's not for me to tell you. You have to find out on your own." Well, I'm standing here today telling you I know who I am and I know where I'm from. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to come together. This thing is happening like this because everybody is in their respective places. I told you all last week, this is a cosmic chessboard, and it's our move. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Understand something. When we went into captivity, the kingship went into captivity with you.
Yes.
When we
yes.
went into captivity as the people, the royal house of King Dawid went into captivity with you. When you went into captivity, the royal house of King James went into captivity with you. And these people have put this propaganda out here to tell you that he was a pedophile and a homosexual, and he killed his mother. He was a black man with 9 children, and he had a wife, and they put him in captivity.
He wasn't with Moses.
You got to understand what's going on here. You got to understand what's going on here. The Most High is on the move, because you know what? Judah has to go first. It's a royal family. We have to go first. The other people have to follow us. Everybody's broke. Royalty's broke. Everybody is broke. Everybody is broke. And we sitting up here talking about we waiting on y'all. Y'all said, "I'll give you everything you need." So we need the bloodline to validate who we are. If we need the bloodline to validate we are who we are, guess what? It's running through our veins. We have it, and we're able to do what we need to do. It's time for us to stand up. And I wasn't even going, I was never going to reveal anything like this, because it wasn't time for it. And I'm not one of those crazy fanatic people that's sitting around trying to be special. It's not in my nature to do that. I'm just letting you know that this thing is on the move because the Most High has sanctioned it.
Yes.
We are really royalty. So for anybody who don't know that, we are really royalty.
Yes.
We real kings and priests. We real kings and queens and prince and princesses. You hear it and you don't even believe it.
Right.
We got the backing of the kingdom behind us. He's just waiting on us to stand up. I never wanted to go into the palace. My girlfriends would say, "You want to take a tour and go into Buckingham Palace?" I said, "No, I don't want to see it. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I don't want to be bothered with it, because it ain't real no way. It's all a facade." They say, "You come all the way over here to England and you don't want to go to Buckingham Palace? That's crazy. That don't even make no sense." But I didn't ever want to be bothered with it, because I knew they wasn't real. Israel, we're more powerful than you think. We got more power than you know.
Exactly.
They keep telling us lies, and they keep spinning all these lies, and they keep spinning all this propaganda, and they keep painting over the pictures, and they got this ugly white man with this black wig on claiming he King James. Stop all that foolishness. Knock all that mess off. That's not true. We're a royal family, and Judah will always be in the earth, and the royal family will always be in the earth, because he said that the scepter would never leave Judah.
Yes.
We got too much power to be scared. We got too much power to be hesitant. And like I said, if it's the women's turn to go, then we go. And if the men don't want to follow us, then don't come. But at the end of the day, just remember that the Most High has given us everything we need. Everything we need, he's given to us.
And all we got to do is tap into it and make it happen. And Kavon and I is not on this phone, and Brother Adoni are on this phone to get ratings. I don't even know you people. All I have is your area codes. I've never seen you before in my life. I've never laid eyes on you in my life. But one thing I do know is that you are my family. And families got to stay together. We got to come together to make this thing happen.
Yes.
They know who we are. They know
they
where
do.
We went. They know they followed us. They know who had who and who was bumping who and who traded who. They know where we're stationed right now in the United States.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
They know.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. That's a fact. That's a fact.
The scepter will never leave Judah. There will always be a representative from the house of King Dawid on the earth. There will always be a representative from the house, the royal house of the King Dawid in slavery, in captivity. It will never leave us. That was the word that the Most High gave us. He gave it to Dawid. He said, you'll always be the ruling family. Let's rule. We still in captivity. Guess what? We're a government in exile. Let's do this. We still under our oppressors. We still captive with them. They still have a control over us. Let's make this happen. We got to be able to do this thing. And every time a sister come on in, and especially the sister from Florida, that rah-rah sister, that's what I'm going to call her, sister rah-rah, because she don't hold no punches. I love it. I love every minute of it.
Yes, I do too. I love her spirit.
So how long are we going to hide behind everything? How long? Don't know. I'm sorry to have taken so long, Kabah. And you know I didn't want to go there, and you know me, and you know we've been holding back from that for a long time, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to make that publication. I never want to do that because we all working together. We all in this thing together.
We are.
We are a nation in exile together. But we gonna stand up. We are going to stand up. Whatever it takes. And we got to be able to say, if we die, we die. But we're standing up. We're going to stand up. But, I get tired of them talking about the family, the royal family, and dismissing them like they weren't important. Now they're even saying they don't even believe King David ever existed, King Dawid ever existed. They don't even believe it.
Wow.
I'm here to let you know he existed, and his descendants are still in this earth. He existed, and his descendants are in America. He existed, and his descendants are going to be on the moon because the scepter will never leave Yehuda.
That's right.
And please, I apologize because I'm very passionate about that. That's a subject that I'm very passionate about because you're talking about my lineage. You're talking about my heritage. You're talking about my family, and I have an issue with that. And some people say, well, how do you know that? Who told you that? You don't know what kind of stories are passed down from generation to generation.
Right. That's true.
And if anybody ever questions it, our response is this, if you don't believe it, because I've already been threatening. Let me let you in on a little something. Because they know who we are. I've already been threatened, and I've already been challenged. If you are who you say you are, come forth. And my question to that person that challenged me, because he was a very powerful individual, if you claim to be who you say you are, come forth. And my question to him was this. If I come forth, what do you have to test my DNA up against? He said to me, oh, we have something. Don't worry about that. When the time comes, we'll be able to do what we need to do. So now we're ready to come forth because we got to stand up.
Yes, we do.
They're daring us to stand up.
England claim that they are part of the tribe of Judah. The Queen Elizabeth claims she's a direct descendant from the tribe of Judah. The white folks claiming they from the 12 tribes of Israel. And they marching on the scene, claiming that they the lost tribe of Israel and the real Israel. Will the real Israel please stand up?
Please stand up. Please stand up.
Can the real Israel please stand up? I'm serious. It's just time out for the talk. It's time out for the foolishness. And I'm saying all that because I love you. And I'm saying all that because we love you. And I'm saying all that because y'all love you. And all he's waiting for is we already got all the right components in place. All the right people that need to be in place are in place. We just need the people to stand up with us. Can you stand up with us and go with us? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to march on Washington. We're going to march on Washington, and we're going to do some positive things while we're in Washington. No, we can't really go into it over the phone because it's not just a march. But for those who want to come and support us, come march with us. Come march with us. We're going to do some very powerful things, some very political things. Come with us. Come march with us.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Kavah. I'm sorry.
No, you're good, sis. One thing is that the house is going to be built. The nation will be built. It is unstoppable what is transpiring. I mean, it's already, the momentum is already there. So it's inevitable. These things are going to happen. The nation will be built. Some people may not see it now. Some people may not understand it now. But that's okay. It's not for everybody to see the vision. It's not for everybody to walk the vision. But when it's there and it's done and it's completed, there are going to be those that will come that never believed in it, but will see that it was a place that was prepared for them to come and have a place of refuge when all of this stuff go down. Because all of this, like you said, Yaina, the stage has been set. It's being orchestrated by the Most High Yah. It's being orchestrated by the all-power creator. It's being orchestrated. And when he sets the stage and he puts everybody in their rightful places and their positions, it's going to go the way the timeline says for it to go. It's already written on the timeline. It's written. You can't change it. It's written. It's already been written, so it's going to take place.
We're building the nation of Yehuda. We're setting up the nation of Yehuda. We are going to be a nation in exile. We are still under the guise of our captors. We still are in this country. But in the meantime, we can still govern ourselves as a people. And we're setting up all of the things that are necessary like we're supposed to. And we want everybody to be on board. All of you older brothers and sisters and elders that are older than us, that have the ability to pray, and you may not want to come, just pray. Just pray. I mean, because this is real serious now. Any time the Most High starts strategically placing people in certain offices and certain abilities and giving people back lineages and explaining where this came from and that came from and how this plays into that and what happens with this and that, and it starts to come together like a puzzle piece, you better hold on because it's going to be some serious stuff jumping off here, and they know it. And then guess what? It don't take an army. It just takes words. Because the scripture said that the power of life and death is in the tongue. That's why it saddens me when people come on this line and totally contradict everything we say. They don't know. They just tore down in the spirit what we just spoke. And then we have to come back behind them and say something else so that we can bring back, because we have the power of life and death is in the tongue. When they marched around Jericho and they had that ark with them, all they had to do was do what he told them to do, and the walls came down. You know, and I'm sorry for going off, and if I've offended anyone, and I hope I wasn't too loud, you know, but it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. You think it's hard.
It's hard, man. It's really difficult.
Passion is just passion. It may sound loud, but it's just passion.
It's hard, Kavah. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this for years, and a lot of things we still haven't told. A lot of things we still haven't said. We've been talking about this for years, and it's hard. It's hard to know all of this stuff and watch other people profess to be who you supposed to be, and they living in the laps of luxury. They have all of the everything that go along with it, and you watching them from a proper standpoint. You watching because guess what? We're in captivity. You think we don't know that? We know. You think I don't know that? I know that. I know.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
We know.
Yes.
Difficult. You know,
and
some people run around here talking about, some people come talking about they the Holy Spirit and they John the Baptist. We ain't saying all that. All we saying that our blood runs blue. And all we saying is that the royal family is in captivity with us. And all we saying is that the kingship is still here. And that Judah, the scepter, will never leave the Yehuda. It'll never leave. And we're the ones that have to go first. Now, are we coming or are we not coming? What y'all going to do?
Right. What is so powerful, Yaida, is how the Creator, the Most High, will back you up. Is Brother Adonia still on the line or did he hang up?
He is. He's just quiet. Everybody quiet.
Okay.
Ain't nobody saying
nothing. What is so powerful is, Yaida, you and I both, it was one day I was out and we, Yaine and I were talking. We were talking about this very same thing about the thing about the imposters in England, the Queen, and different ones who are saying that they're us and they're not. And what was so funny is I was on my way to the library. Yaine was talking. She was like, okay, Kavah, research this. I said, okay, I'm going to look up this, that, and other. We're talking about all of this stuff that we're talking about now. And no sooner that I got on the steps of the library, I'm talking to Yaine, and she's talking, and I'm just listening. This man came out of nowhere. And I'm standing on the steps getting ready to go into the library, and this man, it almost floored me because it was like a powerful confirmation. This man came out of nowhere, and he literally looked at me, bowed his head, and said, what did he say to you? Said to me, Yaine. Yaine, you heard him. Remember what he said to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he addressed you as queen. He sure did. It's critical. I mean, you know, hey, I don't know what to say. We got area code 352 on the line. Come on, let's let Sister Ra-Ra talk. She want to say something again. Sister Ra-Ra, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're on the line. You're on the line.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you,
Sue.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I have another sister on the line with me. I don't know what she want to say, but this is what I want to say. I want to say that I'm an Israelite, like the rest of y'all. I don't really know anything about the New Testament or King James, but what I do know is this. When they gunning us down in the street, they ain't asking us what we believe. We have to put religion aside, and we have to decide that us as a people have to stand up for ourselves. Because if we don't stand up for ourselves, nobody else is going to stand up for us. I'm sick of I'm an Israelite. I don't eat milk. You can't mix meat and milk and all that together. That's very unimportant. What is important is what they're doing to us. And as long as you're a person of color, you come under that headline. I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe, the Most High will make it clear to everybody what the truth is. But in the meantime, you have a right to believe what you want to believe. I have a right to believe what I want to believe. But what I know is that we are all people of color, and we got to put a stop to this, and I'll be there in Washington with you.
Hallelujah. That's all I want to hear. Hallelujah. Now we talking. Anybody else want to say they're coming? Push one so we can. Now we talking. And email me, Sister Ra-Ra, at Yaina, Yaheena, YISRAEL@gmail.com. And guess what? We got a whole lot of people coming because the same people that was at the rally in New York, they coming too. Everybody coming. People signing up like we going.
Everybody that was
exactly.
at the, well, there's some of the people, I won't say everybody, but the majority of the people that hear this message and that was at the rally in New York, they coming too. So we trying to get an organization together so we can get everybody together and let them come. We planning on doing this November the 1st on a Friday so people can take off work for the weekend. And we going to march. We going up there. We're going up there to do something as Hebrew Israelites. I love it. Thank you so much. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear somebody say, I'll be there. Air code 951, go ahead. You're on the air. And Sister 352, we'll come back to you in a second. I'm going to leave your mic open. Go ahead, 951. We got about 10 minutes, so please make your comments really short.
951, this is Isabel.
Shalom, shalom, Sister Isabel.
Shalom, shalom. Well, this is your indigenous sister out here in California. Hello, family. I will be there. I will
yes.
go with you.
Hallelujah.
And
go ahead, sis. Keep talking.
That's it. No, I'm done.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Too.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Isabel. We love you. Thank you so much. We love you. And look at the sisters standing up. The mamas is coming to the table because if the men won't get it done, the women definitely will. Eric Code 352, we know you had another sister on the line. If she want to say something, go ahead. You have the mic.
Caroline, did you want to say something? Hello? Well, I guess you don't want to say nothing.
All right, then. Well, you know what? We're going to leave the mic. Anybody else, I'm going to put your mic on mute, 352. Anybody else that want to come or make a comment or say they're going to be there or you want some more information about it, we want you to email us at Yaena, Y-A-H-E-E-N-A, Yisrael, Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, at gmail.com. Also, we're going to have a big conference call, which we'll talk about it as well on the conference call on Wednesday. And the phone number to the conference call is 559-726-1300. And the access code is 151-286. It's Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We hope you guys can make it. We've enjoyed this show. It was very passionate. A lot of things transpired. You know, and like I said, we love everybody. We want everybody to come. We want everybody to be a part of it. We want everybody to move out and do what we need to do because we got to do something. You know, and the people who don't know who they are, once everything hit the fan, they're going to run into the Nation of Yehuda or the United Nation of Israel anyway because they're not going to have a choice. So we're doing everything we need to do to make this thing happen and to bring this thing forward. And we just thank everybody for your participation, your comments. You following us. We just found out today that we're being listened to all over the world. We're being listened to all through Atlanta. We didn't even know that. Kavon and I didn't know that when we first started this thing. We were just being obedient to Yah. And then Brother Adonia has hung in when there's nobody else hanging there with us. He's been here with us through the whole trip, and we love him too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give my co-host a chance to say a last few parting words before we say so long. Brother Adonia, you have a comment you want to give to the people? Are you there? Hello? Maybe his phone is done went dead. Kavai, you ready to say so long, or you have one last comment that you
yes.
want to give?
Yes, ma'am. I want to say thank you to all the brethren. Thank you to all the sisters. I want to say shalom to you. I love you. Love you with so much passion in my heart, in my spirit. I love my people. I love all people, but I love you. And I thank you for listening. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Brother Donia, are you still there with us? You still on here? Well, he must have went to sleep or something, but I'm going to say what he said. And this is his famous words. He said, I love all of y'all, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And we love you, and we want to say for everybody that's on the line, it's been a pleasure. You know, if you want to talk to us about anything, please let us know. And we thank you for everything. And we say so long, and we'll
Hallelujah.
See you next
shalom,
week.
Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
It's the South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low. It's in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make well. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Tried to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from an upfront.
Times got hard.
Coming from an upfront.
Times you gotta walk the work, yeah.
Coming from an upfront.
Sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nightstyle looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much pain. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even took her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be your friend. Turned out that you were shady. It's time to get lonely.
Coming from an upfront.
Life ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from an upfront.
Time to get a little angry. Yeah.
Coming from an upfront.
Time to get the best of me.
In the building.
Coming from an upfront.
Time to get them on.
Coming from an upfront.
Sometimes you gotta cry a little bit louder.
Coming from an upfront.
Sometimes you gotta fight the pain, yeah.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. We love you.